Good morning. I will bring this meeting back to order. The reconvening is Wednesday, August the 25th, and I will ask Commissioner Wesson and people do the invocation and pledge of allegiance, please.
If you will. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all of your many, many blessings. Father, you've seen us through some tough times in the last year and a half. We want to thank you for that. Lord God, all of those who have struggled with the illness and family issues, and Lord God, we ask that you just put your arms around them and help them and just keep them under your protection. And we know that it rains sometimes in our lives, Father, but we can look to you, and but the sun comes and shines the next morning. Guide us in the work that we do, supporting the citizens of Berkshire County, trying to make their lives better. Give us a broad perspective to be able to see beyond our own personal needs, see the needs of others. Give us blessings in this sense.
Amen. Whoops. I forgot I was
pledge
saying.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need to do a roll call, so if you are present, please say so. Commissioner Robertson?
Present.
Commissioner Trent?
Present.
Commissioner Wesson?
Present.
And I'm Tammy Lee, and I'm present. Mr. Atkins has not arrived yet. Mr. Atkins, are you online with us? Maybe he'll arrive shortly. So first thing on the agenda is to approve the contract for the 2021 audit, and that is on the left side of your packet. And I will give you a chance to look over it since we're just seeing this. Have you ran this contract by the attorneys, county manager?
I've sent it to them, but no, I have not received any feedback. It's the same contract that we usually receive, similar contract from Thompson, Price, Scott, Adams, and Company. And it's just officially get it approved so that Grant, the audit work can officially begin so that we can ensure we have a timely audit this year.
Yes, yes.
I do have a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Juana, only question I have,
yes,
and I read through this, fairly well.
Yes.
There are a lot of specific things that we are required to do in terms of meeting deadlines to get things to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't,
mm-hmm.
there are consequences for our actions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even says in here that they'll stop work and all kinds of things if we don't meet the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But there's little in here that I saw,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing in here that I saw that there are any consequences to them when they don't meet their deadlines. Now, it says here that end of October,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have this draft budget back to us, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, have they met a deadline yet? I mean, I don't think they have, right?
The two audits that they've done before have not been timely. However, I have expressed importance of this audit being on time.
Well,
and as of right now, they're planning to meet that.
Okay. And we got our obligation to them in time, so they can't say that we held them up, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
correct.
I just want to, shouldn't there be something in here that holds them accountable for meeting that date? I don't know what that could be. Could that be financial? Could that be something else? I don't know, but it doesn't. There are always consequences in this contract for us, and there don't seem to be any for them. That's my concern.
What did we pay last year on last contract with these guys?
Same as.
What do we have along with these guys? You don't have any issues with any of these accountants?
Like to take a while before I hear back from them, or whether they need to bring it up tomorrow.
I would like to put this, this is just me. I know it's on the agenda, and I guess I should make a motion for an agenda change. But I'd like to put this contract at the very end of this agenda until we go over finances and this audit, and we have a discussion in reference to that, and then we look at the voting on it and what we do with it at the end of this meeting instead of at the beginning.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, except that we don't really have any other alternative for this year.
Correct.
I mean, it's too late to try to find another auditor.
Well, if it's going to take us 2.5 years to get an audit, Madam Chair, then we could have another 4 months to find an auditor if we wanted to find an auditor.
Good morning. I think I totally agree with the board members here, and Ron had a great point. If you know we are accountable, they have to be accountable too. If not, then there should be some sanction, some form of recourse that we could take. You know, if our attorney could look at that and address that, that'd probably be a great tool to work with.
Yeah, that supports everything I just said.
Yeah. Exactly, John. Exactly.
I agree with Ron as well. And since attorneys have not given us feedback, even though it's the same contract, right? We should ask them if there are considerations we can put in that can hold their feet to the fire on this on the completion date. I agree with the chair that we need to make some decisions about these folks, but we're probably going to have to go with them as it is.
Right,
and see how they do. See how they do this time. But I do have a question. Where I remember I think maybe it was the first year we used these guys. One of the things that delayed it was you felt like some of the ways that they were categorizing things didn't jive with how you thought they ought to be.
Yeah, categorized. During the first stage, they were trying to gather information from previous
office
and so it was delaying being there.
Okay.
But yeah, there's been many. Did not agree with, but after doing thorough investigation over the last couple of weeks, trying to answer some of y'all's other questions, I'm starting to see what they were doing, and it's starting to get a little clearer to me on their process.
Okay.
Even though it does look a little different from what I was accustomed to seeing from the previous audit.
Well, it changes from audit to audit, I think, but I wanted to make sure that you were okay with how they're classifying things now, which made a big difference.
I have one concern I'd like to express. Because of the lateness and this being possible to find a new auditing firm, if we were lucky enough to find one, we would know we would be late here this year.
Can't afford that.
I would encourage us to look at this contract, but yet, Scott, David and I have been working on preparing an RFP to put out to look for a firm in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice to know.
Yes. So, I fully understand your concerns. However, if we do delay the contract, the approval of the contract, we delay the audit work, which will more than likely mean we're going to have a late audit again.
Make us a later.
So, as William mentioned, he and David have been working on an RFP so that after today's discussion and we see how things go, we can go ahead and move forward with that and plan to have a different auditor for the next year, if that is the pleasure of the board.
Yeah, and I don't think that ought to be automatic. I mean, I think we ought to see how these folks do this time, right? Because, like you're right, Juan, there were some things that we held up in the process too, right, with them in the past.
I don't think you held up anything, did you?
Well, we held up completing getting our final statements and things in there so we could put it out to the public. I mean, it's minor things, but, and yeah, I mean, anytime you change auditors, if they got to get information from the other auditor who left us in not the best circumstances, I'm not sure he was very timely.
If they don't show up in September like they have told us that they will, then that'll be a big indication if we need to move forward with the RFP. Right. That's the way I see it. But yes, sir.
I would like to suggest that we still consider at least putting RFP out there and see what you can get. My first audit was noticed some errors in the thing that little things they should have caught before they submitted anything that had no huge impact on what the audit stated, but the lateness of it, I do think it's an issue. And if nothing else, by putting the RFP out there, it's going to encourage them put out it, do their best to keep it going.
I agree with what you're saying, David. I agree exactly with what you're saying.
And we need those options on our side.
The RFP is almost ready to go. We could get a couple of weeks more out. But that's the part. And by the way, most of the things he's out of town, he is going to be calling in and let us know.
Okay. Thank you. So, what's the pleasure of the board for this contract? Do you still want to wait and get the lawyers to?
I mean, I think we need to have some sort of verbiage in there.
I mean, Commissioner Weston, you brought that up. I think we do too, but I think we need to tell the attorneys that we need a fairly quick response. We don't want to hold this up any longer than we have to.
Yeah, because then it'll be our fault if they don't show up in September.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe if somebody were to call them or whatever, they could have something to us before the end of the meeting. Just a thought. All right, so next on the agenda is, Burt T. County Travel and Tourism, talk about some board requests to submit federal EDA competitive tourism grant by Robin Payne. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning. Great.
Doing great, ma'am. Are, of course, meeting with all the different stakeholder groups, all the different niches that Burt T. County has to offer, history, outdoor recreation. We have in the plans, I understand, agritourism activities. So they would sit down with that group and work us through the process. It would be branding for the entire county. It would be a marketing plan. It could be, a countywide map of all of the destinations. So the value of working with a larger group that does this, you know, all the time, is that they bring everybody to the table. We look at not only what our existing destinations are, but we also take into account what we're planning. It's also a really good tool for small businesses, whether they're existing and they want to expand, or new businesses coming down the pike, gives people the knowledge that there's going to be a promotional activity happening. And then we had the meeting set up for April 16th and 17th with Destination by Design. And then, of course, COVID hit, and we didn't have any, but because of the restrictions, we couldn't meet. So we'd like to kick that back into gear. Destination by Design has offered to come back down and talk to us, give us some estimates on what something like this would cost. We also have ideas on where we could get some funding. It would require, of course, grants to pay for it. Quickly, I'll pull up Destination by Design.
Where is this company from?
This company is in the western part of the state. Now, of course, we would have to put out, I'm sure, an RFQ to advertise. But they were very kind in offering just the background of what it would entail. So these are just some of the projects that they've worked on. And I think the process of developing this is the same. It's nice to start it now, looking to when Tall Glass Water opens, or any ecotourism-based project. You know, it's going to take a while to do this. Definitely, again, it's a group effort. It's not, the vision is that just not one group work on it. We bring all the stakeholders to the table. So lots of different counties. Let's see. Yeah, so I can email everybody their website address if you'd like to take a look. But yeah, branding, marketing plan, map layout, website layout, whatever we feel, whatever we need. But again, it's I think it's a process to start now, and it's a process that would require all the stakeholders coming to the table. So I'd like support or approval to move forward on that. Or just have anything to add?
Well, and I will add, since she had a couple of other points, if you will notice how when she was scrolling through Destination by Design, the Elkin Valley area, and now they are really one of the largest wine industries that there is in the country. The Jackson Valley area there. I mean, they really are a good group. Not saying this has got to be the group we're going with, but they were kind enough to volunteer to come down and, you know, talk with us about what we might do.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Is there any questions for Robert?
I do, Robert. We received, commissioners, inquiry, or not quite a proposal, but from John Whitehurst. Concerning First Colony and Coastal Land Trust and some of the same things about how we would perhaps work together to market ourselves and all that's going on. So, and that's good. And we owe him an response. We have not. I think it's important, personal opinion, that, you know, we have our own focus. However, doesn't mean that we cannot work with them too, mm-hmm. right? And they can be a part of, you know, reach, you know, join the other property. And so that there's some possibilities in there, and maybe even some funding possibilities or money that they could bring as a part of something of a joint effort. But I think you're right. I think our focus should be on our plan and how we can link with them as pieces. What's your thought about that?
Well, definitely. First Colony and Partnerships for the Sounds, they were on the list. You know, they're definitely one of the stakeholders. Their focus on history and what they've been able to do in the past with outreach and education, environmental education. So, yeah, and they were invited to the April meeting last year. So, and then we had to just put everything on hold.
Well, we owe John a response, right? So, how should we handle that? Should we work that through Robin, or what should be the commissioner?
Well, I mean, if they want to come to a meeting and present to us, I don't see any harm in that. And then, you know, and let this group and put some RFQs out and see, you know, where we're at and listen to all. And then make our decision. What do y'all think?
I don't have a problem with it.
I think, Madam Chair, I think that'll be the way to go. Hear from everybody. You know, we have a group, and like you say, Mr. Whitehurst, and they have a lot of history information that they could share, and we could probably use some information from them and some things also from design.
But does Mr. Whitehurst's group have the branding that's so much needed? You know, they had the history, yes, but I don't know about the full package.
I wouldn't consider moving forward with this wide effort without them being involved. You know, so I saw them as essential. You know, that history piece of this broader plan. So, my vision was that we would all sit down to the table and come up with an idea of moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they are essential. I think we need to drive the bus, but we need, you know, them to be a major player with us and ideas and everything too. So,
right.
And we don't need two competing plans, I don't think. I think
we can join. No, absolutely. Better way to do it. I mean, my vision was that we would all sit down together and say, all right, how do we go forward? Let's come up with a plan. Let's talk to all the stakeholders and then move forward.
All right.
Yeah, it wasn't opposing, certainly.
Right. Yeah. Right. Let's start with all of them, the stakeholders, and see
right,
what.
Right, make a group decision.
Right.
Yeah. And move forward.
Bye. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to talk. Well, I need to talk about the EDA. Should I turn this off?
Stay here with it, but if I have to get up abruptly and leave, you will know what's going on. We had dinner from Dockside last night at our meeting, and I'm not sure if that's what it is or something I've eaten elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not very pleasant to me.
I got any gum or how embarrassing.
Okay. So just a few last words. My plan was we were going to talk about this in June, but we had lots of things going on, meetings, etc. and grants being submitted. So obviously, First Colony and Partnership for the Sounds are in the same mindset. It's time to start planning for something. So I'd like for all the stakeholders to convene and look at the big picture, and let's all as a group come up with a plan. And that the county would obviously be the one in the best position to issue an RFQ, find some grants for funding to help with the effort. So I didn't see it as too opposing.
I think all we need, Madam Chair, is consensus.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you get
consensus. Yeah, I think you got consensus. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Miss Sarah, she was on the committee working on this last year. All right. Next, thank you. Next question is to talk about a federal grant opportunity that's come up. It is, the American Rescue Plan Travel and Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Grant. There are two directions that this grant is available. One is a state process, which is more of a marketing component. Then there is a brick and mortar component, which is a competitive federal grant. We would be submitting directly to EDA. It's divided into regions. We're in Hillary Sherman's region, which is Georgia up, and it is competitive. But after a couple of discussions with her and attending some webinars and fleshing out where we are, it has to be tourism focused. It has to be communities that need that help, that need to see those tourism dollars, whether you will repairing and upgrading an existing tourism structure, or you're starting from scratch. We're starting, from scratch. Campgrounds are eligible.
Oh, cool.
If you are planning for festivals to attract people, pavilions, stages are possible. Community facility is not possible, because that's community. While it's important and it's essential for us, it's not a component for this grant. So $5 million is the cap on the grant request. There is a 20% match. When I calculated the estimates for the pavilion, the stage, the campgrounds, I came up with, we would ask for 4.8, and that our match would be 1.2. Now, the match, EDA would require verification that funds are available and committed for the project. If other funding will be solicited, EDA must be advised of what the source is and what the status is, and the ability to change match sources post-award will be contingent upon review. We could not go out and get a federal match. And we'd have to be very selective about a state match. I think a private donor or a private foundation is a different. I think that would be allowed. But the grant's not due till December. They prefer grants to be submitted in October, and that would be my target deadline. So I don't know that I need a decision right now, but I think when I come back to the board, I'd like to have some more facts, and if we can think about what that possibility is of committing. It's a big number, but it's also being able to fund activities on the site that leave us the focus to find grant funding for the community facility. It's a lot of research, and I'm going to dig in more deeply, but it's something. I'll flesh out some more funding opportunities, but I'd like to bring it back to the board and have a decision made if we can move forward.
Any questions for Robin on this? When did you say the deadline was?
December is the hard. Okay. October is the preference.
Gotcha. Well, that's right around the corner.
They're being flooded. I mean, the response is just incredible. And especially with the tourism focus, it's wonderful. because tourism grants have always been a little difficult to get, you know. But definitely, people now, there's shift, moving outdoors, traveling, staying within your state, you know, or visiting next door. It's important.
What's the turnaround on the grant?
Good question, and you never know. They want it pretty close to shovel ready. So I think you would know within 6 months. Now, it's not going to preclude pushing forward on finding funding elsewhere, but I'm feeling like the need to pursue it.
Would being able to at least comment about a relationship with other partners as a part of this make that more appealing? I would think these are, we're talking about some pretty well, you know, entrenched partners, perhaps.
Yes, yes, definitely. And the fact that we're next door to a National Park Service or a state park service.
And a new one, new state park.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that is a point for us, you know. So through this program, EDA can support both the development of travel tourism and outdoor recreation, recovery strategies and implementation, including in communities adjacent to National Park Service units, state parks, marine sanctuaries, and other natural destinations. So, yeah, I think we have a lot of points. We're a rural community. Our economic status, the need to promote travel and tourism. I think we've got all the plans in place.
Commissioner Atkins is on the line, but he thinks he's muted. Commissioner Atkins, do you have a question for Robin? Can you unmute him?
One moment, Chair. I'm trying to get him to unmute himself.
All right, thank you. Any success, Ms. Cartwright?
Not at the moment. One moment.
While we're waiting, Robin, is this grant, would it be influenced by things like, you know, letters from our congressional representatives? Does that have no real impact on that?
Yeah.
It would?
I think so.
I think that's something we could easily get, you know, and not just state, but also at the, you know, the national level too. And we had letters from all of our congressional representatives saying how important this was to this part of the state, to Bertie County, to this
right.
joint effort.
We'd have to make the case, right. The narrative on a federal grant online application, you know, there's not a lot of room. So we'd have a lot of attachments
right.
to bolster.
Okay. If we need that, just let us know. I think all of us have that kind of level of contact and we can get that pretty quickly.
All right. Any success, Ms. Cartwright?
No, I'm still trying to get him to unmute.
All right, let me see if I can.
He should be able to hit *6 to unmute.
All right, so I've sent him a text and he says he has no comment or question at this time, so we're good. So we will move on.
Thank you.
Anything else?
So we'll look to bring it up again in September.
Okay. We should ride around the corner.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. All right, so next on the agenda is a disaster recovery update on tornado survivors occupying our trailers from the and the Department of Social Services caseworkers. Who's on the line?
Mitch is on the line. Looks like Ms. Cindy Carey is online as well as Mr. Mitch Cooper.
Okay.
So I've asked Ms. Carey to come and share
Gotcha. Cindy, are you there?
Good morning. Can you all hear us?
Yes.
You can.
Okay. And I have my two social workers that's been working with the families also with me.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing today? This is Donnie Gilliard. I'm one of the social workers here. And the case that was assigned to me was Pam Washington and Leonard Outlaw. Of course, on September 23rd, Pam started receiving her personal loss funds from the tornado. She got $5,000. She was approved for and on a waiting list for Rona apartment in Williamston around September 23rd, 2020. However, she had a criminal background check that was completed and something came back on her criminal background, which they wouldn't written to her.
Can
you hear her?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and just to this is Juan, county manager. Thank you all for joining the meeting today. We just want a brief update. The names aren't necessarily important, just a matter of providing an update as to how you have assisted them
and okay.
where they are in terms of finding other housing options and leaving the camper. If they've been, you know, receptive and actively looking based on your dealings with them.
Okay. On October the 7th, resident was informed of possible rental property by Pastor Moore, located in Indian Woods. And resident reported that he viewed the home on September the 30th, but he did not like the property. So on February the 11th, he was referred to CATA for assistance with housing. He did get, they did receive extensions, and they're having a hard time looking for housing in Bertie County. So that's where we at with Pam and Leonard, and they are trying to continue looking for housing.
Good morning. This is Shanice Williams. I'm the other social worker. I have so far three that's still in the camper. One of them have been given vouchers for CATA. He did not turn in all his information. So therefore, they wasn't able to assist him. They did offer him a spot in a high ski. He turned it down. He basically wants to find something in Windsor. And right now he's having a hard time finding anything, but he did say that if all doesn't work, he will decide to do an application for a high ski. And then I have another resident that is working on finding a trailer. And she did say once she have a date of when she has to move out, she do have a backup plan. And one of the other residents I haven't spoken to since June, and she was waiting on her previous landlord to have a trailer ready by this month.
Okay. And also, we are working with North Carolina State. They have been assisting us with some of the residents still in the trailer. And NC Rebuild is also happening. So that's where we're standing at, you know, right now with the clients in the trailer.
And Michael Thomas. And Michael Bill, we can't.
Are there any questions for Ms. Perry or the caseworkers?
Yes. This is Commissioner West and Ms. Perry and social workers. First of all, I appreciate the work that you guys are doing. I think as of at least a couple of weeks ago, we had six people still in trailers. And Commissioner Robinson and I have been working with two of them to get them moved. And we're very, very close in getting two of those off the list. And one of the others that you just spoke about, who was offered a trailer, been waiting on a trailer by the prior landlord, that trailer will be ready in about 30 days. And they're working on it right now. And this person is committed to moving into that trailer. So that takes three off the list.
Okay.
The other three, however, you know, at some point, you know, we have to make some decisions. I mean, when a person is offered a place in like Indian Woods, and we want to try to keep people in Bertie County, I'm not real keen on trying to move them out of the county unless there's no other alternative. We want to keep them in Bertie County where possible. But I've seen that property in that the church has over there in Indian Woods, and a good bit of funds raised in the community, not through our fundraising, but through other sources, were donated there. And that's a nice property, a very nice property. So it kind of, you know, and sometimes, you know, people have to make hard choices, and we need to help them make hard choices. You know, it's been a year and a half? So, yeah, at some point, you know, people are going to have to make some decisions. We're going to need to help them with that. That's my comment. But I do appreciate what you're doing. But I think you're going to be down to about three.
Okay.
In just a few days.
Okay.
Right. So the contract runs out when?
We're actually just approaching, we're just about a year into the contract. And so we said that it would expire in a year with an option to renew for 6 months if it was needed. But if at any point we were informed that several options had been presented to any of the tenants and they were not, you know, willing to act on any of those options, we could give them notice, adequate notice, of course, but that they had to vacate the camper.
Ms. Perry, this is Commissioner Ron Robertson. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, thank you and your caseworkers for all you do. Just like Commissioner Weston said, we visit with several displacees, and we have made great progress within the last 2 weeks. And we have one is landlord promised her that he's working. And like Commissioner said, 30 days, they should be out and in the new mobile home. And the other two, they have been promised properties that they should be out in a mobile home. And that would, like Commissioner Weston said, I concur that there would be about three displacees left. Anything we can do to help push them or assist them, then let us know so we can put our best foot forward.
Okay.
All you do.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I do have one other question. One of the comments we got from one of the families that we visited was that they did have a CADA voucher, but they said that the voucher had expired. Those vouchers are can be renewed. Is that correct?
Oh, that's correct. Mm-hmm. They can renew. They can request it for extension. They can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So I think that's one of the ones that one of your social workers mentioned. So I think their impression was, and I think it's the one that perhaps you had not spoken with since June, but they were under the impression that their voucher, had, you know.
Commissioner Weston.
Was not still active.
And so some of them, right. And some of them, you know, they asked for extensions. And I think how many extensions can they ask for?
Two, but they've used those extensions up. And until they cannot apply again until it's time for them to take new applications. And that's a ways away, according to Wendy Futrell at CADA.
Okay.
I believe, Ms. Perry, doing business with Wendy at CADA.
At CADA,
I think if there is an emergency situation, they might consider renewing that voucher without the waiting period that a normal case.
Okay. Well, we'll touch bases back, you know, with Wendy.
So At this point, do we need to extend those contracts? Or
I think there just needs to be some discussion about how long we're going to give them.
Let's hear some from Mitch, too.
Mitch?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any comments regarding this?
Currently, right now, what they said, everything I concur with that. We're going, the commissioners were working with us the last couple of weeks. We have four that will be vacant in the next 30 days. The four that the DSS is working on are the ones that seem to be the biggest challenges we have with being offered stuff and then turning it down. We do have one that's working with NC Rebuild right now that we've currently been in contact with NC Rebuild to see where they're at in the process. We're waiting on that reply for that one person to see if there's any way we can speed that up, being they're in a disaster situation. But hopefully after the next 30 days, we'll only have four that are been in the 16 that we deployed after the tornadoes.
Thank you. I've sent Commissioner Atkins a text message to see if he has any questions, but he's not responded yet. But
there's one little piece of information I'll just add for general knowledge. You know, NC Rebuild, they looked at residents who had applied for FEMA assistance after Matthew, and we had over 120 that were approved on our list. And then they, you know, have chosen several of those, I think somewhere about 72, that they're assisting, whether that's rebuilding the complete house, replacing the trailer, making major repairs. But I just recently spoke to the director of NC Rebuild at the commissioner's conference in Wilmington, and they do still have money. Considerable amount of money. So that means there are others on our list who were approved who they have not chosen yet to do work for. Some of those, even though they were approved, there was some slight pieces of missing documentation. Well, remember we spoke to them about, can they tell us which of the 72 you're taking so we could look at the others and try to complete them or get them completed so they could get assistance? I think we might want to try to address that again. We got a lot of things on the plate, but they've got money. So, you know, if we could get some of those other folks and identify them, and they're right over in Washington in the Walmart shopping center where their office is now, and we could get to them pretty easy, you know, and try to get some further assistance because, you know, one time they were running out of money, but now they got additional money.
So. Well, we have Mr. Nelson too, right here in the county.
That's right.
We can contact.
Yeah. So that might be the starting point.
Yes.
Let him know that we want those other names and we can help them complete whatever's missing since they had some initial approval. And that's what was holding them up. So, you know.
William, correct me if I'm wrong. We've worked with them trying to get names. We haven't.
They promised us one time they were going to send them. Then we never got them. Never got
to provide
that's
any
correct,
information.
Juan. That's correct.
So it puts us in a hard place when we're trying to reach out and help them. They won't share with us.
Right. We didn't have Mr. Nelson then. Mm-hmm. Right. So he's our local guy. Mm-hmm. So if we could reach out to him and let him know the frustration about this, you know, you've told us that there are others that weren't complete. If you could get the names, we can try to help them or at least notify them that they're not complete and there's money available, you know, rather than working with, you know, Raleigh, but now they have a local office in Washington, and we have, as the chair said, Mr. Nelson, who is responsible for this county.
So I would hope that none of these residents are not moving and trying to relocate on purpose. I do think, you know, it's, we've given them a year, which is what we said. I do think everybody has done we've done all we know to do. You know, it sounds like the caseworkers have worked hard on all of this. So, somebody else have a.
I think, Madam Chair, Commissioner Ron Robinson, I think we need to not drop the dime now. I think we need to get at least another 6 months with a letter stating that this is it. You know, that, you know, we have to do something within 6 months. That you'll be, you know, maybe housing with public housing or something of that nature. I think we have to at least give them a 6 month notice in advance that we will have, that's the deadline, because some of them may not know. And but now we put it out there in a letter form directed to them through their caseworker, then maybe get better end results.
Anybody else have an opinion either way? We originally said a year with a 6 month possible extension, so
that's all.
Yeah. So let's just communicate that to them, you know, now, so maybe they'll.
And I would say.
And we could do a 3 month and then another 3 month if we needed to, but that's up to the board, whatever their pleasure is.
I think that should be our official position, like what Mr. Robson said, but it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, we're talking about three pops,
right.
Three families. And we know, right? The situation on one of them has been offered, and I think we just have to make sure that we, like the word push, but we assist with possibilities, but also insist that they respond to those possibilities, right? Not just ignore them, because we know that one of those families, Robson, has simply ignored it. Just ignore it altogether, every possibility, you know, and we know who. And so, you know, we don't need to just give an unlimited amount of time for somebody who's ignoring us.
Right.
Right. So we can give a shorter deadline to a person like that. Well, you gotta, you know.
And the state has expressed interest in these trailers, just like they've had all that flooding out in the western part of North Carolina. Those poor people are gonna need something too. So we were blessed with these trailers, and you know, these residents were blessed with a place to lay their head down at night, and we need to be a blessing to others in the same way. So if we okay. So the consensus of the board is to urge them strongly to go ahead and find a place, but to give them another 6 months. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I recommend.
That's what we're getting right.
Okay.
So you got to earn what you got in wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Let's communicate that to them. Okay. All right. Next on the agenda is the salary comparison of DSS employees in Burke County and surrounding counties. Thank you, Courtney, for the work that you've done on this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioners. How is everyone this morning? So, you all have your comparison handout, I hope. So we've broken down the comparable salaries for the counties Hartford, Shawan, and Martin, and of course, Burke. I've also included the previous Burke DSS salary schedule that we just recently moved away from. Based on the information gathered from the local counties within the spreadsheet, Burke County scales fall behind the rest. I would like to note that among the counties listed, not all operate on a 37.5-hour work week. Shawan and Martin operate on 40-hour work week. So although our salary schedules fall behind.
Can you repeat that, please?
So not all of the salary schedules provided in the spreadsheet. The counties do not all operate on a 37.5-hour work week. Shawan and Martin operate on a 40-hour work week. Although our salary schedules fall behind those of our local counterparts, the actual salaries of the employees of our DSS agency are far beyond the minimums of the vast majority of the scales listed, including our own.
Just to make sure everybody is aware, you see Bertie, that's the min and max for our current schedule. You see Chowan, Hertford, Martin, and on the far right where it says previous Bertie DSS 21-22, that is where our current employees are right now. Yes.
All right, so 21-22.
Yes.
It appears to me that we are in front.
As far as salaries, actual salaries.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what this is talking about.
So these
about,
are actual salaries for these positions, yeah.
Yes.
You know, Juan, this is why I suggested that we needed to see this, and folks in DSS need to see this, right? Because you know what we heard? Oh, everybody else is making more than we're making, and we're working less hours than two of the surrounding counties and making more, right? This needs to be well known to folks in DSS so they understand that, you know, we've been making sure that we are competitive and we've done the right thing, right? I don't have better than say it. We've done very well by our employees.
Yeah.
And they need to understand that. And and these are the facts.
Are we in a position to talk about whether or not we're going to keep them at this schedule based on what the state sent us and realizing that we didn't need to do it, the raise that we did?
We can discuss that.
Well, why don't we explain the situation so that the situation is understood, right? What we're talking about here. Because I think folks listening, citizens,
maybe
other people might not understand.
Sure. Thank you. Courtney, would you like to?
Yes. So each year we have to submit a report to the state, basically making them aware of our salary schedules and what we pay our employees that fall within the groups. Our understanding of the information that was given to us in the past was that each year, if we didn't meet certain criteria of the reporting form, then we had to make salary adjustments. Well, it turns out that was never a requirement. So when we made these adjustments this year, we shortly after found out that it was not a requirement to make these salary adjustments. And of course, that's when you all decided to move our salary schedule back onto the Bertie County employee salary schedule, the DSS, basically combining the two from the one that we've had in place with the county since 2007.
And Ms. Waters, it's important to understand, folks, that even though we had given increases over the last, I think, three cycles where we weren't required to, we did, right? And the fact that, so we're not looking to take any money back, we're just moving the schedule back.
Correct.
So it's in sync with
the rest of the
county employees, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
So that's what we especially want folks to understand. Not looking to take any money. We gave them the money the last 3 years. That's great. They are ahead of virtually counties around us by every virtual position here. Work, even though they're working less hours. Okay, so it's not funny, right? It's bad, but you know, sometimes you have to correct perceptions out there, right? And I think that's what we need to do here. People need to understand it, and the fact that you know, I think everybody else is committed to making sure that people are paid for the work they do, and this demonstrates that we've been doing just that.
Anyone else have any questions regarding this information?
I'd like to say, thank you for your excellent hard work that you provided to us. And I thank Social Services for all the hard work that they does for the county as well.
Madam Chair, did you have any questions regarding this information?
No, ma'am. I apologize. No, I didn't. Thank you. You put a lot of work into this, so thank you so much. Because I left the room, I'm not quite sure where we're at. I apologize.
I just gave a brief explanation of the reporting and how there was the misunderstanding of the instructions and how the DSS salary schedule onto the county's salary schedule. And Commissioner Weston just wanted me to highlight the point that we're not moving salaries, actual salaries. We're just moving the scales back onto
the county. Thank you.
And that we need to make sure that DSS employees are well aware of how they stand compared to others, because they stand ahead of the pace.
Has there been any luck on finding the funds for this adjustment?
Yes, Ms. Perry has confirmed that there are two positions that are currently vacant that she does not foresee having to fill anytime soon.
Okay.
In the next 2 years, she said she's comfortable with not filling those two positions.
And we've checked with the state to make sure that
we are in the process of doing that now. And
Yes. I spoke with the human resources manager of the Office of State Human Resources, Dominic Rasmo, and he has confirmed that the decision to add or remove positions within our DSS agency rests with the board, the county board. The only stipulation is if we would like to add a position, we just need to get their approval just to make sure it's classified correctly. But as far as removing it.
Sounds great.
And I just offer this, you guys tell me, this is my personal feeling, that when we make a decision like this, right, and we know we're not going to fill those positions, that would have been an adjustment to the budget, to that department's budget, so that it is reflected in the budget, so we don't compare something next year to something that's not, right? So anytime you make that adjustment, so that we have no way, so it ensures that we will not, in fact, spend that money, right? That's the way it should be done. Anytime you make that kind of cut, you know you're not going to, it's going to last the whole budget cycle. You should make the change.
And my hopes are that we remember this, since this is not our first time getting in this situation, and that it not happen again, that we remember and not make these adjustments again. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for all your work.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You too, ma'am. All right. Last on the agenda. Well, next to last, because we still have the contract. Have you heard back from the attorneys?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So last on the agenda is the budget, fund balance, and audit discussion. County Manager Phone.
Good morning, commissioners, and to everyone in attendance this morning, virtually and in person. So, are you able to hear me okay? I know we've gotten some feedback from the public about how I can hear the property as well. And I want to make sure that. Okay.
LaShonda?
She's muted.
Yes, Chili, y'all couldn't hear me. The mics went out for a brief moment.
Technology.
Hello? Yes, LaShonda, this is.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes. I can hear you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, you cut out. Your mic went out.
And is it back? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay now.
Okay, if it happens to go out again, feel free to stop me so that you can, I want to make sure that you're able to hear what we're discussing.
Okay.
So commissioners, we on Monday before last, we had an audit presentation and you all wanted to follow up with the work session. So today I have a presentation. I have a number of slides. And if you have any particular questions about the slides, please feel free to ask. I want to make each slide or overall, this is going to tell a story about where we are and how we got here. So when it comes in terms of questions, more than likely out of my 20 or so slides, I'm going to get to your questions. But if you have any, a particular question about my slide, feel free to let me know. All right, so we're going to start with taking a look at what I pointed out in the last meeting as being an error in the auditor's presentation, which he did confirm. Okay, let's start taking a look at that. The auditor, Greg Adams, showed a slide very similar to this. And IT or Zoom administrator, if you're able to show the slides to the public, please feel free to do so, so that they can be aware of this presentation and witness it. So Greg Adams showed this particular, of course, he didn't have the strike through available. I wrote that because that was the error that I pointed to him, is that this is not available fund balance. It is unassigned, okay? And he made a similar error last year. But the thing here, after going back and taking a very close look, William and I talked and went through the audit, and we've also talked to the auditor. So what we see here is that this trend line is for unassigned fund balance. Unassigned and available are two different things, all right? However, unfortunately, for this particular year, the number itself for assigned and available are pretty much the same thing, okay? So I was hopeful and thinking that because this particular slide was an error, usually our unassigned fund balance is more than available, usually. This particular year, it is not, that is not the case. And we're going to take a look at why that's not the case in just a second. So again, this is a trend line for unassigned. So now, because we were pretty taken aback by the 1%, I think we failed to do something. I want to take a moment now to acknowledge the hard work of the finance department and our staff, because this also comes from the auditor, and this shows what the requirements were, and it showed what the results were. So we didn't have any findings within our auditing, within our finance and our procedures. The findings were in the Department of DSS. So as you can see here, when it says responsibility under generally accepted auditing standards, OMB Uniform Guidance and the State Single Audit Implementation Act, the requirement to design the audit to provide a reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free of material error and in compliance with government regulations. That was accomplished. No material error. That speaks to our practices. So that is a good thing. Performed all planned procedures and have complete access to both management and required information. Again, completed. Communicate significant deficiencies in the internal control. And he discussed that at the presentation. We had no issues. Adoption or change in accounting policies. Communicate the initial adoption or change in accounting. None noted. Assess methodologies used and basis of evidence for matters requiring judgments and estimates, methods used, and evidence considered appear to have led to reasonable amounts being included in the financial statements. So I'm just going through these to show you that, again, there were a number of things that could have gone wrong with our practices and the way that we do business here. But again, we had no findings.
Communicate
significant recorded and unrecorded differences, none out of the normal course. Disagreements with management, none. Communicate consultation that took place with other accountants, none noted. Communicate any major issues that management discussed with the auditor in connection with the retention of the auditor, none. And lastly, significant difficulties. Any serious difficulties the auditor encountered in dealing with management, such as unreasonable delays in providing needed information, unreasonable timetable set by management, or unavailability of client personnel. None noted. irregularities, and illegal acts. Communicate the existence of any material irregularities and or illegal acts determined during the audit. None noted. And again, that is great because on top of having a not so good financial position and having a declining fund balance, we could have other issues on top of that had we not had the right measures and policies in place. So again, I'd like to thank the finance department and the our overall staff for just adhering to policies and doing what we need to do.
Mr. County Manager?
Yes.
Do you mind if I minimize for 1 second so I can share it on Zoom?
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
So I can continue, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. So, commissioners, I feel the need to make, to remind everyone when I joined the team. I became interim manager mid-year, fiscal year 1920, okay?
Which is the audit we're speaking of.
Which is the audit that we're speaking of, okay? So, I cannot take responsibility for something that was already in place prior to my arrival, okay? So I think it's very important that so that we don't make the same mistakes moving forward, I think it's very important for us to be honest, transparent, and to be accountable and to hold the appropriate people or persons accountable. So that being said, I also cannot take full responsibility or responsibility for the board not knowing that we were going to go to 1%. And that's because William nor I knew exactly that it was going to be 1%. However, I think there should have been a general awareness that number one, it was going to decline. And number two, that it could possibly be 1%. Although we don't like that 1%, we have to acknowledge that that was a possibility. And here is why.
Uh-oh. Is he going to have to do it since he, whatever he did?
Joe, my clicker's not working now. Let's see if I can do it manually. IT, you still there with me? Excuse me for this
Joe?
Slight pause and technical difficulties, but my presentation won't move forward. Joe, I need some assistance.
It's not changing. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Can you, do I need to, what needs to happen? It's not allowing me to
advance the screen.
Advance from slide to slide using the computer or the.
Give me 1 second.
Right.
Just connect to your computer.
So Joe, the clicker will allow me to move the screen on the computer, but not the monitor that everyone can see. And so while we're getting that together, commissioners, I want to remind you that.
1 second. Can you repeat what you just said about not taking that y'all realized it was going to be lower and that because I didn't follow you on that.
I said William nor I were certain of exactly that it was going to be 1%. I said, however, I think there should have been a general awareness. We were aware that number one, it was declining, our fund balance. What was going to decline because it has been declining. And number two, because of that reason, it could have possibly gone to 1%.
Okay. Even though we took steps, late last year.
So this is the thing. and hopefully Joe's working on
right.
this. We're going to get all into
okay.
it. So since I've been here, there's a little a budget worksheet that William, it's a yeah. little stack here that William has distributed to the board, and they extend back to as far as 2014. What about, I think it's about 10 or 11, but about half of these have been given since I've been here. And that's not what you have. These are the ones that kind of give you a breakdown of the revenues and expenditures. We looked at these in some work sessions before. So this is one way that we try to keep you informed of what we're doing. But upon my being here, after very few months, remember, I ensured that department heads, we did a cut, a freeze in spending, I should say. So the spring of 20, fiscal year 1920, which would have been, as we were preparing budget, that spring of, let's say, January, between January and May or June of 2020, we did that freeze on spending, okay? So had that not happened, we probably would be a little bit worse than what we are, okay? Mm-hmm. But going forward, the next budget for fiscal year that would have been 2021, there was no use of fund balance because we knew a problem existed.
Right.
Right. The next year, which is where we're just beginning, fiscal year 21-22, again, no appropriation of fund balance because we recognized there was an issue. And we're going to take a look at that issue as soon as my computer begins working.
Well, while we're waiting on that one, I want to be real clear in my mind because I was thinking the same thing that the chair just said. Now, uh-huh. last year, we knew that based on that year's budget and the current spend to date, which William had been given us, that we needed to cut in order to make sure that we stayed to our budget track. And mm-hmm. we did that. Took the 5% cut.
Yes,
and
sir.
This year, we did not appropriate any fund balance.
Right.
But the problem, Juan, mm-hmm. with the prior 2 years is that we never had the previous completed budget in-house when we made budget decisions.
We didn't have the audit.
We didn't have the audit. So we didn't know exactly where we stood. And when we looked at information that we had, mm-hmm. it was based on, well, you know, we didn't know monies owed to us when they were coming in, when they weren't coming in. Mm-hmm. So we never knew what the starting point was. That's the problem with late audits. When you try to do a budget and you don't really know where you stand, where you stood. So you're only looking at 1 year. And that did not hold true for us because when we finally got the real numbers, they were worse than we knew.
Yeah.
And the audits That's have the been problem. 2.5 years old.
Yeah, we would have never appropriated the monies we did if we had known what the prior year was, but we didn't know.
So you're saying were audits late prior to so again, I came in 19. So of course the 19 audit was late. Are you yep. saying that audits prior to that had been late?
18 was late.
18 was late and so yeah, was 19.
18,
and
19,
we didn't have either
20,
one of them when we did. We
you
were
got
2 years
with
audits
the we never had. You guys never had.
Yeah.
Nobody ever had. So again, as I said before, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. William is shooting at a moving target.
Nice.
Okay. And he's shaking his head. Yes, he was. And if he hasn't got correct information that he's dealing with up front, then how's he going to get correct information to us?
And John, you absolutely, William did a fantastic job because without his alert, William, you remember the day I went into your office and yes. I said, William, where the heck are we? And you said, I think we're going to have a problem if we don't do something now. And we were able to do it, but we still never knew what the starting. Well, when you're looking at 1 year, which is your current year budget that you're making, mm-hmm. and if you make decisions off of that without knowing where the real starting point was, mm-hmm. you're doomed to have a problem.
And you know, the other thing is too, and I've brought this up and I've answered this to other people that have asked the question. When you sit there and do nothing, it's easy to go off what the books are, okay? When you're shooting at a moving target by having projects going here, disasters, things of that nature. Now he's trying to shoot at a moving target without having an audit to tell him where he's at in the beginning. How does all that work?
Hi,
would you agree with that, William?
Yeah.
Mr. Vaughn's.
But I also would emphasize that the steps that he's getting ready to go into now, is going to paint a picture of not only is that moving target, but how we compounded the issue even more.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a look here. This particular slide tells a story. This story begins in fiscal year 2013-14. What was the available fund balance back in 2013-14? We were at 33%, over 33%. And in recent prior couple years just before that, it was even higher. But starting in 13-14, our fund balance percentage was 33.21% to be exact. Okay? So the next year, 2014-15, it dropped. What is that, about almost over a little bit over 5 points? It dropped to 27.76. Okay? The next year, 2015-16, we dropped over 6 points to 21.12. The next year, 2016-17, again, another drop. Not quite as much, but it's still a drop to 18.6. In 17-18, we go up a little bit, about 0.8 of a point. Not quite a whole point, but we go up a little bit to 19.44.
And that was because we gave back 1%, that we had 2% come in. We took one and we gave back one to the citizens in tax break, right?
Okay.
We did do a tax break.
Yep, right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And wait, so, oh boy, I'm sorry. Go
so ahead. Now, and let's bring this up to the last 2 years, which is where I want to take focus on today. I want us to take a look at in 2018, we had a significant drop, about 12 points, 18-19.
Is that because we were expending for the hurricane?
Part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Part of it. And we're going to go into exactly why.
I'll shut up unless
the
you drop.
No, I mean, I'm going to get there. So, again, from 17-18 to 18-19, we dropped 12 points. Okay? And here today, we dropped, again, another 6 points. So that's what I was talking about. This it's been a pattern. Of a decline is what it is.
Now you're probably going to show this, but where did the change in the accounting principle came in, which the auditors warned us about what changed, what we saw on the fund balance?
You want to know when that came in?
Yeah, I think it came in that dropped between 19.4 to 7.44.
I think so too.
There was a change in the accounting principle, which does not really reflect a real percentage change that big, but the way that they count monies to the fund balance changed. I don't know how much that was.
Does that have anything to do with the
That would be the unassigned that fund balance.
I don't know where it fit.
Yeah, right. So not here.
This is available fund balance. So
right.
These are real dollars.
Yeah.
Yes.
The unassigned, because at one time they used to not break out the allocations you made to the next year. It was just all in one line item. And then that chain factor came out where you had to document what you used to budget, to balance your budget,
right?
And then it left you the remaining unassigned.
But don't you move monies, William? And once this came about, because you, I mean, how do you move monies back? Can I say this? That are not available. You mark them as not available because we still can't use those dollars, right? So wouldn't that still reflect the drop in available?
When you have available fund balance, and if you assign any for next year's budget, that becomes unavailable. So that's going to leave you unassigned.
Right.
And that was the change in the reporting method. But the fact is, that is still available fund balance at the end of that year. Document is available fund balance.
At the end of the year, but when you come to that end and there's still monies that you moved out to assign, they are not available to us, even though they're still in the bank.
They're not available in the next year, yeah, because you're allocating it to balance your budget.
I get that, but it would still affect, I think, the percentage.
Only the unassigned percentage.
And that goes back to where I was saying committed and uncommitted.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you make the determination where things are committed. So if there's, I don't make a big point, but if there's money available, but you then commit those dollars, right?
Y'all committed it when you adopted the budget.
Right. Whoever commits, even though the money's still there, they haven't been spent, but they've been committed. So when you do available, it ain't there because you've moved it to committed.
That calculation is available fund balance minus stabilization is available fund balance.
I don't know what that means, but
that means there's certain guidelines that there's certain money that you cannot touch.
Yes.
That's taken out. This appropriated for fund balance is not one of those. Because they look at it as, you may appropriate it, that don't necessarily mean you're going to use it.
I'd like to also say, this is the other thing, you know, go back to 2014, 15. I made an argument with the auditor, and you'll remember this, Williams, where he was including committed funds to come to these calculations. And I said, you can't do that. And he says, well, this is business. This is government. Do you remember that, William?
Yeah, and then what?
And then 2 years later, the government turned around and said, you can't use committed funds. So the numbers you're looking at are inaccurate from those dates also because they were including committed funds because they changed the accounting.
And John, I'm trying to say the same thing, William, because and once you commit,
I got
them,
in a debate with the auditor available. At that time about it. William, you remember it.
Okay. Let's start.
The committed that comes out of the fund balance is stuff that's absolutely guaranteed that you're going to have to either pay or revenue that you haven't got in. That's hard line items. The appropriated fund balance is not a hard line item. It's estimated that you're going to need this to get through next year. You may not need it if you have a tremendously wonderful year or if you cut your expenses or whatever. So that's not used in the calculation. It is part of the available fund balance. Based on the guidelines that I've read.
Make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying even though you've taken money and committed it on paper, it's still marked here as available?
Yes. And that was part of the breakdown that was done several years after you talked about of showing it in the audit.
Well, when did that change then to
2016, 17, right in that area? Because
but again,
Jeff Best,
that's only going to change
the prior auditor. The prior auditor came back and advised that we could not do that anymore. He could not do that anymore because they changed.
It was
the 18-19.
It was an 18-19 audit that it would show up.
But the only graph that will show that change is going to be a graph of unassigned.
And that's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at available fund balance, which is LGC recommends that we have 8%. Our local policy states that we should have 10. Okay.
And we changed it to 10 when they changed the way they did the auditing stuff. I mean, that's when we made that policy change for us. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so even prior to the last two audits or the last three audits, our fund balance has dropped over 14 points, percentage points. Okay, so again, since 2013, with the exception of that 1 year where it went up slightly, we have been on a decline, okay? But we can change that.
Well, and I guess you're going to tell us where that money went to and what's coming, what has come back already and what's still left to come back.
We're going to dig
okay.
into it. So how do we get there? How do we get here with this significantly decreasing fund balance? And this is part of the answer. As you can see, taking a look at the yellow bars here, back in 2013-14 fiscal year, we started out with the original appropriation of about $500,000, okay, to balance the budget. Since that time, if you take a look in 14-15, it went up a little bit. From fiscal year 15 to 16, there was a $1 million increase in the original appropriation of fund balance used to balance the budget. Okay? We use 1.5, 15, 16 just to balance the budget. Okay? So come here, 16, 17, we go down just a little bit to 1.2. Then we, 17, 18, we're back up to almost 1.6. 18, 19, we're almost at $2 million just to balance the budget. And then in 19, 20, again, similar thing happened, which is the audit year we're talking about. 1.7 million appropriated just to balance the budget.
Let me say this. I'm going to be clear on this.
Yes.
Yeah. So this says that every year since 13, 14, mm-hmm. we made a budget.
Yes, sir.
And we spent more than we budgeted. You know what I mean? Okay. Right?
Or we appropriated it at budget time. In some cases.
The original appropriation is what we budgeted. No? The
original appropriation is what we budgeted. That's
and
correct.
The final appropriation is what we spent.
It's the final appropriation. Okay, so I didn't get there yet. So I was just talking about the original appropriation. So let me go to final appropriation. The final appropriation is when we, during the fiscal year, when we have budget amendments, William comes, and we have these some things, you know, maybe grant related. We're going to go into those particular things in just a minute, things that will take us from the original appropriation to the final appropriation. But here, I wanted you to see budget. Original appropriation is at budget time. When we are completing the budget, original appropriation. During the fiscal year, we have these budget amendments, and that's what takes us up to the final appropriation. So in 18-19, we started with 1.9 just to balance the budget. But during the fiscal year, there was $400,000 worth of other items that we added to that were not budgeted for. Everybody with me?
We're with you.
Same for 19-20. Original appropriation of 1.7. But again, we have about $400,000 of items that were not budgeted for. So budget amendments came and were approved and took that final appropriation up to 2.1.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that. And that's a horrible picture, but it shows a lot, right?
Yes, sir.
But one,
yes, sir.
The thing that has confused me is because sitting here as a commissioner during this time, we know that certain things like having the water budget be spending more than was appropriated, this board was never aware. Not once. Was anybody on this board ever told
we never knew
that
never
we
knew
were it. In the black? And how does that happen when it shows here that we, for 3 years, we were spending money, we were told, and it showed even on the papers that we worked with from the budget that we were not in the black. So how does that happen? Does it just appear like magic or something on the spent money?
And just to be clear, which fiscal years are you referring to, Commissioner?
I'm talking about the last 3 years when we were over budget on the water department. Never once, and I've sat on this board the whole time, that we ever were made aware that was the case.
Okay, well, we talked about it prior to the last budget, because that's when
But I'm talking about what we're showing here.
Prior to that, right. we had never heard.
Okay. But it was happening. Okay. It was happening, and it's showing here. And what else is like that? So are we going to be able to see specifically what those things were?
Yes, let's take a look.
All right.
Let's take a look.
He's ready.
But this is, I wanted you all to understand exactly what's going on here, because again, it tells a story.
It does.
Okay, so now, let's take a look. Now, this is when we get into actual spending. Actual spending, this is another really good slide, because back in 2013-14, back when we had about 33% available fund balance, you see these bars, the gold, these bars should be as close to each other as possible. We do not want our expenditures to exceed, and definitely, certainly not significantly exceed our revenues. So you see back in 13-14, we were in the 20 millions for both. But as we go up to 2014-15, there's about $1 million deficit here. 15-16, where there's almost a $2 million deficit. 16, 17, not quite as bad, but there's still a deficit here. Our expenditures clearly exceed our revenues. 17, 18, we're back to over a million again, when it comes to the difference in our expenditures exceeding our revenues. 2018, 19, that's over $2 million. Over $2 million. And then 19, 20, again, almost $2 million. This is how much our expenditures exceeded our revenues. So what has to happen? What fills in this gap? When we increase our expenditures without an identified source of revenue, what fills that gap is
the fund balance.
Okay, so now, oftentimes when our expenditures exceed our revenues, the first thought sometimes will be, oh, we must have had a downfall in revenue somewhere. We must not have gotten in some money that we were expecting. When our expense, sometimes we'll just automatically think that, right? But this shows our projected revenue versus our actual for each fiscal year. Starting back 14-15, our projected revenue was about 20.9. We exceeded that in 14-15 with 21 million. 15-16, again, our actual revenue exceeded our projected revenue. Same for 16-17, same for 17-18, 18-19 gets closer, but we still end out better than what we projected. And 19-20, once again, our actuals are better.
So William's done a great job with his crystal ball.
Exactly. Yeah. This is good forecasting. Good. This is good projecting. Okay, so this suggests revenues is not the problem.
Yeah, but it also shows that when we previously projected our revenue, we projected it lower than we probably should have, because what we really got exceeded it. I mean, it should match up closer. So right. the bigger the difference is either we didn't project enough.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's what happens here. In each of those slides, we did not project, our initial projection was not high enough.
And that's okay, right?
Of course it is.
You want more to come in than what you're expecting, right?
Right, but you need to know what the closer you are to what is actual, because you got to spend based on what you think is coming in. You got to make a budget based on what you think. So when we miss projection of revenue by $1 million, that hurts us in making that next budget because we don't know that money's available. Am I right?
In this case, it's a good thing.
No, what he's trying to say is if we projected and got that $1 million, we could have used it on the expense.
Absolutely.
Side. I understand that. But it doesn't really hurt us because if we get more than what we projected, yes, it's going to go to fund balance.
It does not hurt us, William. Right. But we should be building a budget based on the best knowledge available.
Which I think has been happening over the last couple of years. We've been getting a lot closer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But when I look back at like 15, 16 and those kind of 3 years right in there, look at the difference. You know, we did not have a clue. We weren't in tune on what the real revenue was going to be for whatever reason.
Yes, sir. So I can agree with that. It's good. You want your projected to be close to actual. You want it to be close. You want your projections to be close. But when we get in that extra, it doesn't hurt us.
Oh, no. Never hurts us. Never hurts us. But you can't. You can't build the next year's budget unless you really have a good idea, because we don't have the audit. So we didn't know what the revenue was going to come in more than we had. So, you know, we're in the dark. That's my whole point. We've been in the dark for too many years.
So now, let's take a look at how our general fund budget has increased over the years. Meaning when we prepare a budget back in 13-14, our expenditures were 16.8 million back in 13-14. So from 13-14 to 14-15, we increased $3 million. Okay? So we're talking about when we prepare a budget the amount that the budget is for the general fund, it increased. We added on, tagged on $3 million of expenses in 14-15. In 15-16, we went up a little bit of over a million in 14-15. 16-17, we added over another million. 17-18, we tagged on another million. 18-19, almost another million, about 800,000 or so we added on. And 19-20, again, we tagged on some more. And as mentioned before, 2021 is when we began to bring it down. And of course, in 21-22. So over the past two fiscal years, we reduced our budget by about 1.3, okay? But prior to that, again, each year, our budget is increasing. It's increasing. And unfortunately, we have not always identified a source of revenues to cover those expenditures, which is why fund balance was used.
Yeah, we never raised taxes, did we? Did we raise taxes in that time? I know we decreased it that one year.
We decreased it one year around here.
We raised taxes.
And then we raised it 3.5 cents here.
Okay.
Which is 1819. I'm sorry, which was fiscal year 1920. I'm pointing and people virtually can't see me. So, for fiscal year 2018-19, the county manager at that time, who was not me, recommended a fund balance appropriation of $1.9 million. The county manager recommended an increase in the ad valorem tax rate of 5 cents. Which was approximately equal to $632,740,000. Okay? The Board of Commissioners approved the fund balance appropriation of $1.9 million. The Board of Commissioners did not approve an increase in the tax rate, and the final fund balance appropriation for 18-19, as you saw a little while ago, was 2.3.
I thought we went through the budget that year and made the cuts so we had a revenue neutral
we've done that every
budget.
Year. We've done that every year. What he recommends, Juan, is just nothing but a recommendation. We then sit down like we did last year and went through and cut back.
Slashed all the way back.
I understand. Well, what I'm saying is he recommended that we appropriate 1.9 and he also recommended a tax increase.
Right, but we didn't appropriate that 1.9.
Yes, what? We did.
Why? Look, that means we would not have had a balanced budget. Every year, he presents us a budget and said, this is what I'm recommending. This is what, if we granted everything that was requested, it's this high, right, Wayne?
Yeah.
We said no.
I'm going
to
pull it.
We cut back to what is projected as the revenue budget. So we are neutral. We leave that meeting thinking that we're neutral, or we know that we're taking funds out, money out of fund balance.
Yeah. Y'all have contributed fund balance appropriation for every year for the last 5-6 years. There's never been, this, last year and this year, the first time I've been here where I've actually done a budget with no fund balance appropriated.
Hmm.
When the county manager presents proposed budget to you, every year, he presents a budget to you that is balanced. It's balanced based off the revenues we know we're going to receive, plus any fund balance appropriation on these years that also needed to be appropriated in order to balance the budget. It's presented every year. It's done that way.
David, I disagree. Let me tell you why. We sit here, and the first thing that happens is the county manager brings us a budget that includes everything that was asked for that he decided also should go in. It is always a tax increase. Always. Then it's our job as commissioners. We sit here and we cut back and line item out those things back to balance, back to the revenue number that we were given. We've done that. John, am I right or wrong?
Let me ask you a question. Was that money allocated into that budget that was given us to go over prior to us going over it?
Yeah, that's when you got a balance.
See, there you go. That's the deal. No different than when we went over the budget this year. and I asked you about rescue money. Was it included in the budget? And you said no. And then when we got into the meeting, I asked the question twice. The first time you said no. And the second time you said yes. It's already been in there. That was this year. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember this year, John, but wait a minute now. So when we're cutting, you're telling me that
I don't need that. Go ahead.
No, you're telling me that what I've seen is we're sitting there with this spreadsheet, right? And it shows that revenues don't match what your budget is, what has been initially presented.
A balanced budget, and it has a line item that says fund balance appropriated in order to balance that budget. It's going to be zero at the bottom.
Every budget letter that you forgot to write with that, unless you think you've been doing it for the last 3 years, in the budget letter that he gives you with this proposed budget, it says we are using 1 point whatever to appropriate.
Yeah.
So what are we cutting?
With the
budget we give you, but then you come in here and start working, that's when you start making changes and adjustments.
Right.
But you're given a balanced budget based off of revenues plus any fund balance appropriate.
Whoa. If we're given a balanced budget, if we cut nothing, then there would be no deficit.
A lot of what happens when y'all work on this thing is usually there's something that's not funded or someone's requested something, and y'all work on trying to figure out where you could cut something in order to put money for this other thing or whatever. A lot of times that's what goes on, but if you cut things out that are completely gone, it would reduce the appropriated fund balance.
This is the heart of this meeting right here. Right?
Yeah.
So go back to what you said there. Yeah, it is given to us as a balanced budget because the county manager says, and this would require a tax increase of X.
Can I stop just one second? Let me share something because I think this is what you're talking about. And previous manager's budget letter to the board and to the public, he states, agency funding proposals and departmental budget requests submitted for fiscal year 2018-2019, if funded, would have required a tax rate increase of 33.9 cents with no use of appropriated fund balance reserves. So, I mean, if everybody would have gotten everything that they requested, we would have had to increase the tax rate 33.9 cents. Okay, but we're not doing that. He goes on to say the proposed funding for the general fund in FY 18-19 is $24.9 million, which is an increase of $1 million or 4.2% above the original budget ordinance for the current year. Balancing the funding requirements for the proposed general fund expenditures is a fund balance appropriation of $1.9 million and a recommended increase in the ad valorem tax rate of 5 cents. So when you, again, I think you're presented with a balanced budget, but if you don't reduce by this amount that you're over, then fund balance is going to be used.
So that's what we thought the exercise was that we're doing, that we were cutting it. But the last part you said,
was trying to save the 5 cent tax increase he recommended.
Right, because he recommended using the 1.9 million in addition to the 5 cents.
So we cut so you're saying we only cut the 5% tax cut. We didn't take out
the 1.9.
And listen, okay, I'm just going to ask this question, John. Certainly, you and I were here. Mm-hmm. Was it your understanding that we were that other money, that 1.9, was in there?
No, we were
under the impression that all we needed to do was to cut out that tax increase and we'd be back to zero. Not that the 1.9 of fund balance was being appropriated into that.
That's how I remember it also.
For the record, I know I was there and he read it from this letter and it was definitely stated the use of fund balance plus the tax rate.
Which suggests.
So is that what has happened virtually every year?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. So yes. I'm not to jump to a conclusion, but somewhere we need a control. Ron, when you came in, you and I sat down to talk. In fact, because William and I had already talked about cutting that prior year budget, which we did. And then you said, this is a problem. It should always be a true balanced budget without taking yes. in fund balance, right? Should always be that way. And you're right. But I can say this, whether we should have known, that was not the impression that, at least that I'll speak just for myself, that we had. The impression I had is that we were looking to cut that tax increase to avoid that, but not that we were every year,
yes, sir.
Adding that money back to the fund balance.
Yes, sir.
It just, you know, so.
All right. So we have an understanding, at least now. So if you want to continue. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so you ask, so what in the world were, what happened? You know, in 1819, manager speaks of this $1 million of increases from the prior year. What are those increases?
And this is after we've done the budget, this list of items.
Well, he outlines it in the budget message. I think that the reason okay. that it increased is there. These are the reasons.
But were they in the budget?
Or are they in the budget? Yes, sir. Well, that's why the budget increased.
That's why we use fund balance.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And so these are the things. You know, 5 deputies for the courthouse, 179, you know, so on and so forth. Telecommunications positions, new shelter attendant, 3 new CADA employees we took on full time, assistant county manager position, manager's contract extension. And so on and so forth. And this isn't everything. This is just majority of it. The primary
the
total
okay.
is over
$1 million. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So if we did those things during the course of the year, right? We couldn't have known that we were going to do them at the beginning of the year, could we? Yes. How do we know we were going to do those things during the course of the year?
They were budgeted for in the budget ordinance that was passed.
And that was,
wait a minute. So we didn't overspend. We spent exactly what we thought we were going to spend. Which is that?
But you use fund balance.
Correct. But here's correct. Our thinking. Correct. If we didn't know that in there was that amount of fund balance, right? We kept saying, "Oh, it's in the budget. Oh, it's in the budget."
Right, but
it's in the budget.
It's in the budget because fund balance is also in the budget.
Right.
Okay.
So that's 1819.
Yes. Yes.
And so you didn't go back to. I see where you're going with this because this was in the budget using fund balance. Okay. So
correct.
In 1718, we had the storm and. We use fund balance that was not budgeted. Is that
we're going
to okay?
Get to
gotcha. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
continue on.
That,
sir.
That's the two things. I really think we're here for two reasons, and one is because we use fund balance a lot because we increase our expenditures without identifying our source of revenue. Unfortunately, our source of revenue was fund balance.
Right.
But we also had some unexpected things, and that's what fund balance is for. When we have disasters and things like that. And we don't get that reimbursement back, again, that affects our fund balance. But again, I'm going to talk about that in just a couple minutes.
What is ACM position?
Assistant County Manager.
Oh, that'd be you.
Yeah.
That would be me.
And I want to say.
At that time. Yeah. Or about to be that time.
And I want to say one, if it's in the letter that was given to us,
yes,
that we were spending that and that was in there, it's on us that we didn't understand that. I'll say that. Because that was, I'll be honest, I mean,
yeah.
That was never the perception here. The perception was that we needed to avoid that tax increase. And that's what we were doing, thinking that we'd be back where mm-hmm. we would be matching what was revenue. But it was not. The false perception, regardless of where it was generated, was that there was already fund balance in there, right?
And I've heard from one commissioner saying that we need to slow down during these budget sessions and take more time. So we have a full understanding.
And we need some guardrails to keep us from.
Yes.
If you spend this, it is not there. If you start, like Juan said when he came in, if you start having a budget that does not take from fund balance.
Right.
And or if you put it in there, you better darn know that you did. Okay. And then you never overspend. You say, no, it's not in the budget. You got to find, like you said, something comes up, got to cut, find it someplace else. Find that cut someplace else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That's what you do at home. That's what that's you got to do here.
It ain't same in principle. The bank. You can't same spend
principle.
It, can you?
Same, very same principle.
I'm not a accountant, but I got enough sense to know that much. Yeah.
Okay. So now this is the, all right. So let's go back for a second. These are the things that increased our budget from the prior year. Again, our budget from the prior year increased by about $1 million. And so these are the things that took up or account for that increase. And so, again, we talked about we had a certain amount appropriated at the beginning, the original appropriation. Well, during fiscal 18-19, these things came up and took us to the final appropriation. So the original appropriation 18-19 was 1.9. The budget amendment total for that year was 471,000, which took us to a fund balance, the final fund balance appropriation of 2.3.
What were those budget amendments?
Well, can you, they'll listen here. Can you, so.
Oh, okay.
Increase in legal, we increased our legal budget. The LUCA address points, that was an update. I believe that was for census.
That was for census.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to what's your on your own?
18-19.
Okay. There was you allocated money for NC Low. There was money bought over from the POs that were in there for the courthouse security and storm preparation that did not get completed, that was bought over for the next year. And then, of course, some grant monies that I have to bring over from year to year after the end of the year.
Well, let me ask you about that keynote speaker. What was that?
That was a speaker that was at the high school during the time when they were having all these high school shootings. And there was an agreement that was reached upon the board at the time with the school to pay for the speaker to come there.
And the Blue Jay money, that's a, it says reallocation of PO, 150,000. What do you mean by reallocation of PO?
I gotta find which one it was. Which one was it?
Blue Jay, 150,000. That's the biggest one up there. Oh, well, second biggest.
You're talking about that one.
The Blue Jay, I think it may have been money that was budgeted for in the prior year. There was a PO.
And there's another reallocation down there too, 153. So
that was any grants that I had that did not get completed at the end of the year, that grant money. The way we work is we close everything down, and if it's not being used, it gets reallocated the next year. So basically, it's a little misleading because that money is going to go into fund balance, and I'm going to take it out of fund balance and put it right back into next year's budget.
But yeah, but how does it affect the 18-19 budget, that current year?
That was, if it wasn't used, it went into the fund balance at the end of the year.
Well, you see, if it wasn't used.
But and it wasn't used because I reallocated it in the next year.
It wasn't used, so but it was in the budget.
It was budgeted for one.
Okay, so these things, I just want to make. So let's just take one, Blue Jay. Now, $150,000 was in the 18-19 budget, is what you're saying.
Okay, and then the seeing Blue Jay, so I'm, what do you got?
$150
reallocated. Okay, so I had a PO. So there was a PO out there to do work at the Blue Jay.
You're saying?
And all of it never get completed.
Done. Was it in the budget for 18-19?
It was in the budget that year. As an expense line, but it didn't get done. And
didn't get
still,
done. Didn't get used.
Right.
So it drops back in again.
Right. And then we wanted to still finish the project, so it got reallocated.
I understand the reallocation. I'm just talking about, was it spent in the 18-19 budget?
No. It was allocated.
Right. Got
but not spent.
So if it was allocated but not spent, that should have helped us that year.
Yeah, it would have went back into the fund balance, yes.
Right, and because it was in the budget and it didn't spend, it would budget would have been under budget, assuming all other things constant, and the money would have gone back in fund balance.
Right. On that particular
so item. Right there, those two things, same thing, that's $300,000 that should have improved the budget position, right? Because it wasn't spent. Or was it counted as if it was spent because when you present the money, the spend to the auditor, it was budgeted in that year and it was just a carry, the difference between assigned and spent and that whole, what is that?
The what's turned into the auditor, I have to close out all my POs before we do the final. So it's not going to be spent in the previous year.
And so it goes where?
So it goes in the fund balance.
So that actually helped us.
It helped fund balance. Well, how did it help your budget deficit for that year?
Because we didn't spend it.
Right.
Which is.
So if we had, so when I look at that year, when I'm looking at an audit, mm-hmm. and you didn't spend that dollars, mm-hmm. but yet and still we were still over. And we would have been over even further had we spent what was there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so not to beat a dead horse, but the same thing with 1920. County manager recommended a fund balance appropriation of 1.7. County manager recommended an increase in the ad valorem tax rate of, that should say 9 cents. 9 cents equals 1.1 million for that particular year. The Board of Commissioners approved the fund balance appropriation of 1.7, did not increase the tax rate, and so the final fund balance appropriation was 2.1.
Yeah, and it's because we should have known that was in what was given to us. We were concentrating on cutting up the 9 cents,
right,
which we did, mm-hmm. but not knowing that there was already, in addition to that,
right,
another. It was already in the budget that was given to us.
So where did, I know you got a graph showing us what we spent.
Yes. So these are just some of the expenses for that year, expenses that increased our budget from the prior year. So raises for EMS, 73,000. Raises and adjustments for the sheriff with that 40,000. Starting salary for deputies, 372. Raises for telecommunications, 57,000. Increase in retirement system, our contribution of 104,000. And then that year, we also gave a 3% COLA. So again, just some of the expense things that were tagged on as additional expenses.
Hard to see.
Well, let me ask you a question. Some of these things I'm looking at up here, they talked about lapsed salaries would cover it.
That was in the previous year when we talked about doing it. Then this is the next year when we actually have to budget for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a one-time expense.
Salary and all done for the sheriff was done like in May, April, or something like that in 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was done understanding that we could cover it with lapsed salary, but we would have to budget for it in the upcoming year.
Just like the DSS.
Yeah, but when we had things like you just showed us on the previous that we reallocated to that next year, would that reallocation money be in the budget, William, or is it not in the budget? I mean, we didn't spend it this year. That's in 17-18, we didn't, it was in the budget, we didn't spend it. We put it back in fund balance, right?
Right.
So when we built the budget, what did we build the budget off of that next year?
Whatever the actuals were required based on the number of employees we were approving in the pay scale.
Well, that's employees, but if it was something like a Blue Jay, it was in the budget. It was, we didn't spend it. It was went back to fund balance, right?
As long as it was agreed upon that we still needed to do the project.
And right.
Sometimes you'll have something just to say, oh, we're not going to do this. Right. Cancel.
But what I want to make sure is, it was in 1 year's budget. We did not spend it, reallocated to next year, which meant it went to fund balance. Then we did a budget for that new year. Was that spend for Blue Jay then in that new budget?
The budget amendment, when I reallocated.
It went back to fund balance. So was it in the budget that we did that next year? That's when we really spent it.
I would not have known what that was when we
started the budget. That's exactly right.
Because in May, February and March is when we're doing it. I don't know what the final result's going to be until June, July, or August.
William, that's exactly the point. Because if it was here, 1 year's budget, you didn't spend it, it went back to fund balance. But next year, if it wasn't in that next year's budget, because that's when we're going to spend it, it's going
to
come out of somewhere.
To put it in next year's budget, when I got a PO in here saying I'm going to do the work, and I got 3 more months left to get the work done, so in all anticipation, it should be completed. But for some reason, it does not get completed. It needs to roll into next year.
Right. But
how am I going to prepare that when we're trying to put a budget together?
Because if it was budgeted 1 year and wasn't spent, right, when the assumption and the money went into fund balance.
It was encumbered. I put a purchase order in. I'm going to spend the money, so I don't have it. Come June 30th, we didn't spend that money because y'all didn't get this work done.
Perfect example would be the animal shelter. I know it's been in the budget for the last almost five years.
At least three.
And we have never spent it.
But in this case, I actually have a PO in there saying I'm going to spend this money. But at the end of the year,
and that's where you come up with a committed fund that it's going to be spent.
But John, the money went into fund balance. It didn't go into the prior year's budget unless we put it in.
Every year it's been in the budget.
Right. But we put it in.
What William is saying is that we were expecting to spend it by June 30th. Like the PO was out, we were expecting to spend it.
I get that.
When we prepared the budget for the next year, we're thinking, it's going to be spent. But as the budget gets approved, it's the end of June, and it's like, there's a holdup.
This is my point. That because of that, I'm not saying it's whose fault, it's no fault, but because it wasn't in that budget, and we do spend it, it's over. It's something that was unappropriated in the budget.
That's a budget amendment to get you to allocate it back the next year so I can spend it.
I get that, but like Juan just said, you had a PO, so you thought it was going to be spent. It wasn't. That money went into fund balance.
Right.
But when you did your new budget, you didn't put it in there because if you didn't put it in there and spend it, you're over the budget. Am I missing something?
Yes, because we didn't put it in there, from my understanding. We didn't put it in there because we didn't know it wasn't going to be complete.
Right. So then we do spend it that year.
After we do a budget amendment and reallocate it back to the fund and put a new purchase order in, then we spend it.
Yeah, we spend it, but was it in the new year's budget that we spent it in? No.
Once I done a budget amendment, yes, but not in the original.
Because in the original budget, no, it was not because the assumption was that.
Okay. So, David, if we then made an amendment to the budget on that, right? And that means that there was not revenue to match this because you're adding a new debt without adding any new revenue. So every time we do that, we have to adjust the budget from someplace else to keep the budget. We never do that. All we do is say, okay.
What? Why would you adjust it when the previous year, when you allocated it, it went to fund balance?
Because that's
you take it from fund balance.
Because we don't want to take it from fund balance. That's the whole point, William. We don't want to take it from fund balance. Because if we do, we decrease our fund balance. If it's not in that new budget, right? And I hear you say, we do a budget adjustment, but that's of the spend. So, yeah, we spend it in this new year, right? But you got to take it from someplace else in that same year, or it's going to show as an overage at the end of that year. Am I right or wrong? I mean, I'm just.
I don't disagree with you, but I will say this: based on what I've seen in the budget for the past several years, with this one, just for this $150,000 we're talking about, $1,500, not such a big deal.
Yeah.
$150,000 to take it from someplace else in the budget. As the budget to spend in this for the past several years, that is almost an impossible task.
And David, if we don't make that a possible task, we keep going down the hill because there's no avenue money for it.
I don't disagree with you, but we got to get $150,000 in Mercy County this year, even this year, when we didn't take anything from balance, we got a balance.
It's a lot of money.
We're talking, there's no, you don't have any projects going on out there or any big purchases from automobiles or anything else that you can go in there and say, oh, I'm going to reduce this budget by $150,000. The other day we were trying to do something.
Right.
So I want it to be known, you are correct. That is the best way to do it. But until we are in a better position financially, that's not really against my law.
But is there another way to do it so that you can show it in that new year budget? Because you didn't spend it in the last year's revenue. You wanted to be able to show it so you don't keep running that same deficit over and over and over again. Isn't that a way to put it?
Well,
so you show it?
If we, you know,
I'm just saying.
In simple terms that I can say, we're taking it at the end of the year and putting it in fund balance just to hold it until the next year comes up so that we can put it back in the account and finish the job. In some municipalities, they have carryovers, like you were talking about
right
earlier. It's encumbered, and it's just there.
That is what I'm talking about.
We don't do that here. That's not the accounting process is here. So instead of being encumbered,
it's
at the end of
all
the year,
POs are closed
every
down.
Every PO is closed, and on July 1st, every PO is closed.
Why I ask, is there a better way? Because when you put it back in fund balance, you forget about it. You know that it was somewhere in a budget, didn't get spent, so the money ought to be there. But then when you spend it in that new year, it's not there unless you pull it out of your fund balance. You know what? You get my drift.
I understand what you're saying, yeah. But I mean, the way the accounting process is done, this county, the way it is doing it, there's no other option but to take it back from them.
I get that, but when I see those things, I saw two things. One, that added up to $300,000 that were carried over and went back in the fund balance. We don't even see them, that they're there, because I know William puts them there, but we never see it because it was in the prior budget, and then we spend it in the next year and not even know that we're spending money in the fund balance.
Well, you know, you should know from a budget amendment. Like you should.
Oh, we see the amendment, but when you're sitting down doing the budget and you think this is what I'm going to spend in that new year.
Right.
And then that's not in that.
Right. Because you, at that particular point, when you're preparing the budget, you're thinking it's going to happen. It's in the works right now. But for some reason, it doesn't.
But that's my point. Not only did you think you were, you're hurting yourself in that new year because it's not in there.
If fund balance was where it should be, it really wouldn't be. It wouldn't be hurting because you are just putting it back in there and taking it right back out.
And technically, that's what's going to happen even if you encumbered it. When you close the year out, it's going to say you didn't spend this money. It goes into fund balance. When you start the next year, it's going to say, okay, here's the PO that you want. We're going to have to bring the money back down to cover it.
Well, I got it, William, but when I'm preparing that new budget for that new year, I know that. It's not lost to mine because it's something out there that's going to be spent, and it ain't captured when we sit there to do that budget. If it was sitting out there saying, oh, this is encumbered, you're going to have to pay for that this year, this new year. So either you're going to put it in your new budget out of a new revenue, or yes, you're going to be taking it out of fund balance.
Well, my question I ask is, when I close these POs in July 1st, how can I put that back in the budget we prepared in March?
You can't, William. But you could put it in a holding fund for the new year so
it's
that it's
balance.
Accounted for.
Fund balance.
No. I'm not saying put it back in fund. Okay, if you put it in fund balance, but you still got to be able to say, these are monies when we sit down to do that new year budget. These are things that you know you're going to spend. That are not, we don't account for that in the new year spend, but we know it's going to be spent. but it's not accounted for.
We don't always know in March or April that a project that is ongoing is going to be done by June 30th.
Right.
And when it's not, it's June, July 1st, we wouldn't have to go in there and close all the POs for accounting purposes and start the new fiscal year.
Okay.
That's when he finds out that a project is not done.
Right.
And he has to close it. So he has no other option but to put that money into fund balance, and then on July 2nd,
when
the new PO is up, he has to pull that money back out of fund balance and reallocate it to that PO so that we can finish the project.
Right.
There are some times where, yes, we could do that, but there are not a lot of times where the project, he's not aware of when the project didn't get completed until after June
3rd. Right. I understand that part to June 30th, and you got to carry it over. But I'm talking about when you are doing your next year's budget, right? Where it's now going to be spent. You know it wasn't spent that last year. You know it was put back in fund balance, right? You know that. So we should be accounting in this new year that we're going to have to spend that money. And if we don't put it in the budget, now I didn't say we put it.
But you prepared the budget in March.
How are you going to know?
You're doing a budget amendment.
I do a budget amendment. Yeah,
but it's still coming.
And then it's coming out of fund balance.
Yeah. You have to put it in the budget so it's spent out of the new year budget revenue, not out of fund balance revenue. If you keep spending fund balance revenue, it never stops.
Yeah, you don't
it
know
never
that.
Stops. You got to account for new revenue.
If I get $100,000 grant and I get the money in, and we spend $50,000 of it, and it's a grant, so I got to make sure I carry it over the next year. I can't put it in the other $50,000 in fund balance and reallocate it next year, so I can continue spending that grant. I've got to try to find $50,000 out of our current budget. But we did receive $100,000, which the grant says we have to spend.
Well, that's a grant, but a lot of these things
are basically. No, but it works the same way.
I understand it does. But the grant is positive money, so it's always going to be positive. But a real debt.
But the expense is not positive. You got this, you got the expense. No,
it is positive in because you did not spend it actually in that budget a year. It was carried.
So where did it go when you didn't spend it?
Went into fund balance.
Fund balance.
Right.
But when I want to spend the rest of it next year, where does it come from?
Fund balance.
But we don't want it to come from fund balance. We want it to know that we can't keep depleting our fund balance on revenue
that we did not spend. That's where it went. So you're not really depleting. You're just offsetting. I mean, that's where it originally went to. So you're pulling it back out.
You see what happens where we're spending every year is because we're spending money that we did not know we were spending.
Well, and
but this is not the biggest culprit. The biggest culprit is what you budgeted for
exactly.
At the beginning of the year, 1.7 and 1.9 million.
Just trying to catch every dollar because it still means to me that, and I know in the process, we spend that money and we're not thinking that we're depleting our fund balance. We're almost saying like, well, it's budgeted, so we're spending it. And no, it wasn't budgeted. It's just in fund balance.
Let's let Mr. Vaughn continue on.
Okay, so just to wrap up fiscal year 1920, again, we started with the original appropriation of 1.7. The budget amendment things listed here are budget amendments that happened during that year that took the final appropriation up to 2.1.
So reallocation of project grant funds, contribution to public school supplements, reallocation of to purchase land for the fire training center, so on and so forth.
But we, like the supplements, we did not, that was not part of our budget that year.
Correct.
That was after budget.
Exactly. So these things that are listed here was after the budget ordinance, but during the actual year, which required a budget amendment. So these things here are budget amendment items that carry the original appropriation to the final appropriation, which is 2.1.
You have a slide that shows all the money we spent on hurricanes and flooding.
We're getting it.
Okay, good.
We're getting there. Again, this is twofold. Increasing our expenditures without an identified source of revenue, and now we're going to move into reimbursements. And
unexpected things. Yes, sir.
Manager.
Yes.
Well, look like to me now. Fiscal year 2021, a lot of those expenditures that we had to go into fund balance, we wanted to go into this year because, well, I mean, they were one-time item.
Right.
That is correct.
And we did not appropriate any fund balance for the budget.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
Or every time something comes up, Ron, we have to say that's not
where's budget, the money coming from?
Where's the money coming from?
Right. Absolutely.
And like on those increases for DSS, right? Well, we said right. Okay to that.
Right.
But
we were blessed, we
had to say to the guys, find us a place to take that out.
Yeah, we were blessed with that.
And if we had done that every year, if that had been our policy, we wouldn't be sitting here doing conversations we're having right now.
At the end of 2019, we had a reported fund balance of $4,982,000. That information is correct.
He can't get
it. I'm sorry. At the end of 2019, we had a fund balance, a reported fund balance of $4,982,000. Is that correct?
I don't have. You got a slide, don't you, Juan, to show the fund balance? In the 19?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
I can't see it either.
At the end of 2018-19, our fund balance total should have been $5,278,905. At the end of 1920, it is now $4,144,191.
And why is the accountant got here or the auditor have here? Bertie County's reported available fund balance for prior year 2019 is $4,982,000.
And you're looking at?
I'm looking at the audit report.
For 19 or 20? For 19,
it says 19. In the 19.
You just mentioned available fund balance. So let's go back. This is total fund balance.
This is telling me, does it say, and yes, it says available fund balance for prior year 2019 was $4,982,000.
What you looking at?
I got it right here.
Oh, you must be looking at the first part, the MD&A. And that part needs to be updated. You have to take a look at the.
It needs to be what?
Updated. Remember, I told you you had received this before. You have to take a look at the schedule.
He's looking at this number over here, which is all governmental funds.
He was in the major products.
You've been talking about that one.
And this is not.
Yeah.
So did you say 4.982753?
4982733.
So that's the total. That is a total. That's not available. That's total fund balance.
Well, why does it say Bertie County's reported available fund balance for the prior year 2019 was $4,982,073?
See, you're reading up in the front. You must be looking at the management's discussion and analysis, which the auditor did. That needs to be updated, which is what I'm working on. But that figure is total fund balance. If you turn to page 14 in Exhibit 3. That is total fund balance, so the total governmental fund.
Okay, so that needs to be updated, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
So that part of the audit's incorrect?
That part of, yes, the MD&A. Okay. That's correct. Yes,
let me ask you another question.
Yes.
And since I got these things that... Close the current fiscal year, Bertie County government reported a combined ending balance of $4,468,000 after a decrease of $514,000, approximately 93% of this, $4,171,000 restricted and non-spendable.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 4.
What's your question, Commissioner?
Is that correct?
Exactly where are you looking?
Page four.
Page four. What in particular? Where am I looking? Which bullet are you referring to?
At the close of the current fiscal year, Berkeley County's government reported combined ending fund balance of $4,468,065 after a net decrease of $514,000. Approximately 93% of this amount is $4,171,059. Is that correct?
It's restricted. That's restricted.
Page 4. I'm sorry. I need to look at it some more.
I do. And you're asking, if is that 4.1 restricted?
No, I'm asking, is it correct number?
Go to the 4. Table 7. To make sure.
Because the only reason I'm asking the question is because you said you needed to correct the other ones.
Yes.
Does this have to be corrected also?
The management discussion and analysis is a summary, is summarizing things that happened during the year according to the audited numbers, which are in the tables and exhibits. So, yes, I'm currently working on updating the MD&A because that was somewhat, because we received the audit late. Auditor.
I guess the point I'm making here, Juan, is
can
this. Finish.
So we received the audit late, and so the MD&A was completed by or drafted by the auditor. I want to do a better job of explaining exactly what happened. So the MD&A portion of the audit needs to be updated. So everything else,
when you say updated, you mean corrected?
Yes. Corrected. So right. The figures and exhibits in here should be correct, but if you read those first pages in the MD&A, there absolutely could be some things in there that are incorrect.
So this audit here that we've received has incorrect data in it.
The MD&A portion, yes, which is why
that's personally what everybody pretty much reads. Okay, I mean, but that's incorrect.
It needs to be updated. Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
So we're talking about this audit here that was given to us, sent to us, I believe it was Friday or Thursday. That is incorrect.
It was actually on Monday during the meeting I sent it to you.
Okay. We got it Monday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's incorrect. My next question is, bear with me a second because I got to see what's highlighted.
Do you want him to finish his presentation?
I'd like to ask these questions
while we're
here.
Go ahead.
I know the reason being is because we get too far into it and then I'll forget.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if anybody else has that problem. Anybody else have that problem?
Yeah, I have a question. I have a question, manager.
Yes.
Wouldn't it have been better if this here budget were reviewed first and all the corrections made and then given to us? Because in order for us to make a sound decision on anything, it needs to be correct. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's
yes, sir.
So it's no point in fingering at you or anyone else,
right.
But
yes.
I'm just saying, in order for us to be mostly like accurate, 100% right, especially to the public, we need to have correct information before really we can move forward.
I mean, because we go back to the DSS situation, that was incorrect information that was given to us also, correct?
Yes, sir.
It's
incorrect information given to me, yes.
And then it was given to us.
Absolutely.
Which created a vote, correct?
Which created what?
A vote. We voted to do the DSS mandate.
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
My next thing is that maybe you can explain this one to me. Proprietary funds.
What page are we on?
I'm on page 9 now. Berkeley County proprietary funds provide the same information found in government wide statements, but in more detail, at the end of the fiscal year, unrestricted net water positions equaled $473,000. There was a decrease in net position of $346,000.
Okay.
When were we told about this? Is that not a loss, a decrease?
When were we told about this? You're talking about, remember, we've had work sessions.
We did have a work session, but that was prior to this right here, and that was saying $200,000 losses. The reason I'm bringing it up is because this is $346,000, and if the new budget that was given to us that we needed to hit on for water department, this here is short by $146,000 with our new budget we have set in place. And that was all the information that was given to us.
Correct. So
because we went from 2.5 to 2.7 is what our budget is. Okay. Correct. Now we're at $348,000 loss, which we said we only had $200,000 loss. So when we did our markups, we went off 2.7, not 2.5, we went off 2.7, but now we got $348,000. Now we're showing $148,000 decrease on any revenues that we expect to come in.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. So this audit was received after our discussion and our
assessment. Yeah, and that was like 2 months ago, I think. Okay, and so anyhow, the increases that we put on are not going to cover what the losses are, if this is accurate.
I think we're going to be a whole lot better than we have been in the past with that water rate increase that we just.
Okay, but we're only talking about $196,000 increase. We turn around and have a $348,000 loss. And if this is using a budget of 2.5, or is it using a budget of 2.7? And if this is using a budget of 2.5, we're only going to have a net of around $60,000 when we're expecting about
$197,000. Yeah, I think we're.
You see where I'm at?
I think I do. Based on the adjustments that we made.
You see where I'm at, William?
To the water rates.
You're involved in that meeting.
Yeah, but I agree with the county manager. I think the adjustments we made. And the fact that we have seen an increase, in, especially of Boca, which is the one that got us in trouble in the past, I think we'll be fine.
And to Commissioner Roberts.
I mean, because I had a personal vested interest in helping y'all get that done.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You're welcome.
Back to Commissioner Robertson's comment about the audit. If you remember, Attorney Smith, during last Monday's meeting, mentioned having a hard copy.
That's right.
Of the audit. And right. My statement was, when I give you the audit, I want it to be complete and I want it to be correct, which is why you had not received it yet at the time of the audit presentation. So it was my preference to give you an audit that included the MDA with all of the corrections. Okay. So since you all wanted it at that particular time, I sent it during the meeting so that, because again, you all wanted it. So let's be clear that the audit figures are correct. The 4, 5, 8 pages in the front may have some numbers, may not be the most up to date, may not be completely accurate, but the audited figures and what we're discussing today about fund balance is absolutely correct.
Okay. Well, this was delivered to me.
Correct. And it's the same thing that you were sent
via
email during the meeting on last Monday. Yeah. So again, I make the board aware that this was not the copy I wanted to give, which is why you had not received it.
We understand.
Well, you wanted it, so I gave it to you. But some changes need to be made.
But that's beginning. The copy that was sent to the LGC, correct?
Cool. Yes.
So can we send them a corrected copy when you are fully satisfied?
Yes, we're going to. Okay. So the thing is, the MDNA is not,
we can't,
again, we want readers to read that and to get the accurate picture. But the audited numbers and figures is what's most important. But we're going to work to get this updated, and it will be sent to the LGC.
Okay.
I appreciate, your hard work, working forward, making the necessary corrections.
The PowerPoint is very telling, so please continue. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. So, clearly we have a problem, and let's go back. Okay, this is where we should be.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
All right. So now, during fiscal year 2018-2019, we took care of some things as a result of Hurricane Matthew and some other things that resulted in us having to spend our funds, okay? So as you can see, Golden Leaf Grant, $179,000, FEMA Hurricane Matthew, 71. Another Hurricane Matthew, 217. NC Commerce, 160. And NC DRA, 63,000 for a total of $692,000. So those were things that we spent during fiscal year 18-19 and did not receive reimbursement during that year. Okay? So now, had we received the fund, those funds, that $692,000, by June 30 of 2019, the fund balance, available fund balance, would have been 10.05% instead of 7. Okay? So it would have gone up some. So again, I say, again, our issue here is twofold. This is part of it, but the other stuff we were talking about is a big part of it.
This happens everybody in town.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exception. It's just something you have to build into your expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what fund balance is for.
That's why the LGC wants you to have that 8%.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, fiscal year 19-20, a number of delayed reimbursements, as you can see. If you have any questions, William has all of the budget amendments that, you know, go along with all of these. And again, this is something too that was in your folder if you want to take a look back. I mean, it goes back as far as 2015, but we're just focusing on 19 and 20.
You said it goes back as far as 2015?
No. Yes. Yes. The budget amendments.
The reimbursements. Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So the $236,000 that we finally got from, that was Matthew money?
Yeah.
So $288,000.
Was it that much? I don't remember.
Okay. It was in two sections on my sheet because 25% was the remainder of the original allocation, and the rest was what we spent above that they approved.
And that's listed here somewhere?
Yeah, it's down close to the bottom. It actually came in April of 2021.
Okay.
Which is the following year.
Gotcha. So it'll show up on this next audit.
It's in the bank.
Yeah.
For our revenue.
So a total of $1,116,599.51. Fund balance for 19-20, we're talking about being 1%. If reimbursement for this $1.1 million had been received by June 30 of 2020, available fund balance would have been 5.27.
So still not good.
Still not good. Yeah. So again, this is only a lot of money. So that would help. That's a part of the problem. So the problem is twofold, and this is part of it. But what we discussed before is the bulk of it. Yes,
have we received that yet?
We received some of it.
There's a list in there that shows when I actually received the money. Yeah. There's only two I have not completed yet.
That you all have that handout as well.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so now let's take a look at how this delayed reimbursement affects us. So this particular graph, it shows the yellow bar is total fund balance, okay?
So can I interrupt for 1 second? Certainly. So what, because the audience don't have these handouts,
yes.
So what we are still waiting for is $84,546 from the NCDRA 17, and They have some issues with paying Holland Landscaping. There is Holland Landscaping. We have filled out the paperwork
and all that they required us to do and all and submitted it. I just need to follow up now on why we haven't got our money. Because I was under the impression that the new way that we were going to handle this was going to go through without any problems. We done what they said do. We filled out the paperwork. We submitted it. And I just need to find out where my money's at.
All right, so I need to make another phone call.
Let me call first and find out what the status is.
And then the other is $28,931 for reimbursement for the FEMA COVID-19.
And I think, if I remember correctly, I think Victoria told me she's got some coming in, which is probably part of that.
Okay.
Real soon.
All right, just for audience purposes. We are catching up. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
So the yellow bar shows the decline in fund balance. back in 14, we had $8 million. So we're down to $4 million of total fund balance. And similarly, the available fund balance, which is in the on the outside, this the lighter green here, again, that has decreased as well down here. Now, on the other hand, our restricted stabilization by state statute, and that's the bar in the middle. If you take a look, that's what has increased. And the reason that it has increased is because of those reimbursements. That money that we get back, we don't get back timely. We get it back after the fiscal year where it was expended. Yeah. It's stuck in, it's restricted. Right. So once we get it in the next year, hopefully it will move over to available and become some cash. But as of right now, when we don't get it, it is it's here.
Closing the gap on money.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that up.
That's good work. I mean, that's a significant amount of money.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And that's been my concern because over the budget, all the processes, I've been looking at number growing and digging into all this stuff is when the light finally came on exactly what's involved in that money. And this is where a lot of it gets tied up at. That I can't count on June 30th because I don't have it.
So we have gotten back a $1 million in this year, in this fiscal year.
1.1.
Yeah. Well, we haven't got all of it back. About 100,000.
Yeah.
And the year 419, we got back almost 700,000.
If you subtract out those last two with the question mark on the handout, it's right. $1 million. Yeah.
Ron, is this way of looking at this way? The first two columns, the yellow and the middle green, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you add those two together, that's really where kind of we ought to be. Or even if you add on three together, because look at the first year, 434. You add the 8 million and 1 million, that's $9 million, right?
Actually, if you add these two.
No, the yellow and
this is total.
Is that green number in the total?
Yes.
Okay. So you add those two together then?
Yes.
The dark green and the lighter green are in.
Make up the yellow.
Make up the yellow.
That would be, we'd be over.
Well, here's what I kind of consistent that if the two together, that's going to be more than the yellow.
If you add about.
20 and 21, we were two, Ron.
If you add about a little bit over two to five. About five, you're going to get about
7.2. Yep. And it's the same with 20 and 21.
Well, they should equal because it comes right off the sheet that says, right. What's your total balance, what's your stabilization, what's your remainder? That should be the, they should equal.
Yeah, they should equal.
So, where that dark green is going up, it really is still hitting that issue,
no, but it affects your available fund balance.
Correct.
Because
that's
don't
the
have
issue
it
here.
Yeah. Remember, that was the one we talked about earlier. See, that the guidelines say that this is restricted, you can't use it.
But that is going, I see how that's going down, right?
Correct.
The green is going down.
Correct. And the dark green is on the opposite. And that's because the restricted affects our available. As the restricted goes up, available.
Again, this is just
oh, yeah.
That's not
well, that number's the same number you got in here.
Yes.
Yeah, you said these numbers need to be correct.
Some of them are
that's
good.
One of the numbers
you.
I was asking about.
Some of them are good. Some of them are not.
Hey.
It needs to be updated. The numbers and the figures and exhibits are correct. Those first few pages need to be updated.
Well, this isn't the first few pages. It's correct.
This map is just to show us where the problem.
Both.
Problem.
It showed you that.
But we're proving the true.
You don't want to restrict it improvement.
Restrict is going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Which is why we need to get this continued. That needs to come down. Money.
And as that comes down, the other one should start going back up. This slide was basically to show you how over the last couple of years we've run into situations where money not coming in a timely fashion has affected our fund balance.
And we have had a number of obviously issues, right?
Yeah, hurricanes, COVID, all this kind of stuff.
All right.
So now this pretty much concludes, but we can't talk about all of these problems without having some
solutions.
All right. So as already discussed, first thing is we've had two fiscal years without the right. Okay. And we're gonna try to keep that going as much as we can because we can see what the issue is. You know, using fund balance just for the balance of budget is high. Next, when expenses are added, we must find a source of revenue or expenses in other areas. We can't tag on expenses without identifying how to pay. Right?
Yeah.
Over the past two fiscal years, we've reduced the general fund budget by $1.3 million. 2020, by like $6,000, and then 21 by about $6,000, and then 22 by about $7,000. So we have reduced the budget. We're going to talk about department heads seeking ways to increase revenues and for finding grant opportunities.
And Commissioner Wesson had he said if every department head had the responsibility of searching out a grant opportunity for their department.
And we have the grant finder tool.
We're going to work on that.
Yeah.
I asked about that grant finder that we used to have. I'm not sure we still have it.
Yeah, but you can still get it.
All
you got to do is contact.
It was started several years ago. All department heads access to it. Uh-huh. It kind of didn't work too well. Then we kind of dropped the license down to, we had the clerk to the board. She had license to it, and someone could go in there and use her to search for anything like that. I don't know if we still have that in the works. I got a feeling it probably is not, but we could get it back.
We don't have access right now, but we can get access because we let it lapse. We can get access through MIDI's, right? And I can tell you that other counties in our five-county region are using that and finding a lot of opportunities. So that's why when we look at the number of grants that we're getting compared to the other five counties, County Roberts stuff, okay, so there's an opportunity. So,
and Mr. Falwell was at our conference and said we need to check to make sure there's no money for our counties. What was that NC? I took a screenshot.
Commissioner Wilson, show Willem about how many grants both counties getting.
I'll just say it this: other counties around. I'm not going to name another county, but other counties around us are getting significantly more success. And when you ask them what they're using the grant finder.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. And they ask, and they're putting that responsibility not on a person, but on their individual department.
Right, right. So.
All right.
Okay. And I didn't finish.
Go ahead.
I'm getting texts saying that you need to speak up.
Okay.
They're having a hard time hearing you.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was told that they couldn't hear me. So just real quick, I propose solutions. We've done two fiscal years without appropriation of fund balance. When expenses are added, we want to find sources of revenue or reduce expenses in other areas. Over the past 2 years, we've reduced the general fund budget by $1.3 million. Department heads are going to seek ways to increase revenues and or grant opportunities. And as positions become vacant, we're going to take a look and assess the need for filling the vacancies just because we have a position, you don't necessarily always have to fill it. Now, I'm not saying we need to just send somebody home and take the job away from them, but when the position becomes vacant, we can take a look at if it's something that we actually need or have to have until our financial position improves. And then the last thing, and I know we don't really want to talk about that, but depending on how things go, and we are expecting improvements in the next audit, we should be better on the track of going back up.
But depending on how things go, we may not need to be off the table for a tax increase. Okay. So, something to consider.
Should never be off the table.
Right. Well, and for the purpose of the audience, I mean, just what we've received in monies this year, this fiscal year, mm-hmm. Starting June the 17th was the first bit of money that we've received from monies that we had out there, is $1 million. Yeah, that's a lot of money and a lot of fund balance percentage points. So, I'm agreeing with you. We should look much better this, because we did the cuts and froze some positions and did what we needed to do last year. We've done that again and didn't appropriate fund balance.
Correct.
We've done that again this year.
Right.
Plus the monies that have come in.
Right.
So the next audit for 2021 should look better. And then looking forward to the next audit should even look even better.
Correct.
So we want to assure the citizens. We knew there was a problem. We didn't know it was this big of a problem. And we started taking steps to make things better, and we will continue. It is, and I think I speak for everyone on this board, it is our desire to use the taxpayers' dollars wisely and to manage them. I mean, that's what our job is, and we all have that desire, and we will. I vow to do better. And I'm hoping that the others on this board have that same.
I think this has been a very, very worthwhile, project to have this level of discussion, to know exactly, where, call it errors or not errors, but missteps, I put it that way, were, right? And then how we can correct them. And I think we started actually making the correction before we really totally understood where it was, right? Because we knew we were going in the right direction. So the last 2 years, we've done the right thing, and that's going to show up. But one piece, I think, it seems like a twofold piece. We got to make sure of what we're budgeting, right? It is the right revenue amount, and it is the right expense amount. And then when other things come in that are not budget,
find the money.
When we say yes, we got to understand the implications of yes. Sometimes you should say yes when it's not there, but you got to understand, and we got to accept the implication of that. And personally, I think we have to understand the process better so that things don't go by us. Because when you read that letter that the previous manager wrote, well, I can't say it's not there in that letter. It was there. Now, did we understand that? Or was that what we were working from in order when we were doing what we thought we were doing? Apparently not the case, right?
Yeah.
And so that's our responsibility.
So, two things. The former county manager has sent me an email, and I have forwarded those emails to the other commissioners so they can take a look at it. And I believe it was Juan was included in those emails. Okay, so Commissioner Wesson is correct. Whether or not it was stated, it was not what we as a board were thinking was happening. We didn't realize that when we made those cuts that we were not cutting, we thought we were cutting the tax hike and not the fund balance. Also, Commissioner Atkins has sent me a text message saying maybe we should start having a mid-year budget work session to take a look at the current situation and the time and make any needed adjustments. So, that's a great, we've been getting reports from William, thank you.
Even quarterly. Month to month, especially in the first part, like William pointed out, I mentioned that early in the year, month to month don't tell you much anything.
Yeah, really don't.
But at quarterly, we all certainly ought to look at least on a quarterly basis.
Yes.
Okay.
I will say this, Mr. Robinson speaks and says, we want to do everything possible in our power as commissioners not to raise citizen taxes. I don't support raising taxes on anyone. I'm quite sure none of my colleagues, I'm quite sure my colleagues feel the same way. But we will get the job done.
Yeah, and if it's, you know, sometimes it's necessary. I'm not a big fan of it either. We're all taxpayers, y'all. So, you know, we don't want to raise our own taxes. But when it is necessary, like it was, what year was that? 17, 18? 1920. Yeah, we raised them. We felt the necessity to do that. But
and we also cut taxes 1 year.
Right.
We thought we had additional revenue coming in that we had not anticipated. We gave half of it back to the citizens. We put the other half in the budget. You know, nobody likes tax increases. I sure don't want to pay any more than I have to. But we got to understand where we are, not only as a county, but when prices go up, right, faster than your revenue is coming in, there's a deficit. So either you have to cut services, right, or find additional means of revenue, right? And if you don't do one of those two things, the only alternative you're forced to do is to take it from your fund balance. So, and your solution, Juan, pointed to that. The budgeting process, tighter, better, not using fund balance. And when things come in, we have to account for them there, right, and making cuts. And we, at the same time, need to look for new sources of revenue because prices are increasing. I mean, that's a comprehensive plan. That'll work if we stick to it.
And even until, well, even, we budgeted certain items for each department, but when those POs come in, you know, if we could take a look and say, do you absolutely have to have this item, or do you absolutely need this, or do we absolutely have to spend this money? And especially until we get back right. And get our fund balance built back up.
Well, if you ask some of the department heads, they will tell you I would do that a lot of times.
Okay.
I ask them,
okay,
is this really necessary?
So and,
I try to monitor some of that as well.
Because the our supervisors live in the county, so they're taxpayers as well.
And David, were you sure with the board what we talked about when the department heads comes to you with a PO, what you just sign off on the PO, you say, hey, who did you get the permission from to do the work? We was talking about a request for payment, PO, and you saying it's a form that they should have been had approved prior to having the work done. You know, one day you shared with me about Mitch came in, wanted you to sign off on the PO on to give the check process.
I think that there is a checks and balance process in place.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that wasn't a PO. That was a contract that we were talking about.
Contract.
That was different. Yeah. When contracts are signed off by Juan or whomever, the PO has already been approved.
Right.
And okay. He has to go to the finance office approves those POs before anything comes up. I don't see those.
Again, as county manager spoke to in the reference to what the auditor said, they also allow checks and balances that we have in place, which we try to follow as closely as possible. Every right. once in a while, something may slide outside the cracks, but pretty much we.
The moment of checks and balances in place, then, you know, we should be on top of it.
And I'll say this, you know, I think we have a very, very good team. You know, I think we understand where we are and we understand what we got to do. We just need to follow through. And I can tell you, I don't say this, you know, I ask a lot of questions of William, you know, because I'm trying to understand a lot of things myself. But I'll compliment him on the job he's done because I just remember even more than a year ago when he alerted us and he says, this is what's happening. And, you know, and we took steps. And even though we didn't fully understand the problem, right? Now I think we got a full understanding of the problem. And we just got to continue to do what we're doing and add the other things, but it's a good team.
I think, David, with your experience coming in here too, it matters. One, with you set the policy, identified it right up front when you took the helm that says, this is how we've got to lay it out. And we've done that. So we stay the course. And I think it'll turn around a lot faster than we thought.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you so much. This was very informative. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another whole thing to see it. So thank you so much.
Only other thing that I have is just in light of what has been discussed is if the board's desire to hold off on approving the audit contract until the attorneys can take a look.
John.
Yes.
Okay. We don't want it. Okay. So, but we need to make a decision at the next meeting. So,
well, is there a way to make a decision prior to? We have, John was requesting, John, I think, I'm not speaking to you, but you were requesting the attorneys give us some advice.
Yeah, right? Exactly, man.
So let's do that. And if we give that advice, we're going to have to wait to another meeting.
Do a phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meeting. Vote. Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
or if you
before.
Prefer email, whichever one you prefer.
Or by acclamation, if the lawyer says this is what we can put in to make sure that we hold that the auditor accountable to dates and et cetera. But if he says we can't do it, okay. But whatever we can, that can be done by acclamation, right? Sending a message around, we all say yeah to it.
Are you good with that? Initial
Trent? Yeah, I want to wait another month.
Right.
Well, no, neither does anybody else. But again, understand. We just got this, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's got a date of January 1st, 2021 on it.
It does.
That's when y'all got it, I assume, correct?
Probably somewhere around there. I don't.
Well, I mean, okay. So you got it February, but it's dated January 1st, 2021. We just got it today. All or right. When we got it sent through to us with your email, which was just when? A couple days ago?
Yes.
Okay. So I meant
on Monday. So yes.
I mean, I would thought something like this would go in front of the attorneys in the first place 6 months ago.
Correct.
And now we're discussing it now, and now y'all are under the squeeze to do something. You see what I'm talking about?
I totally understand.
I don't know. We're trying to make a decision on contract here that needs to be written, and there needs to be some addendums put to it. Okay. Something.
Okay. It's the same contract though that
we did last year.
I understand, but have we got confirmation of that from the attorneys?
Well, he's telling us it's the same contract, just
my point of contention is it's January 1st, 2021.
And understood that the audit was late and we're trying to get that done. Issues are just compounded. So, but yes, we had it. I assume we had it for a while and could have brought it to you.
It hasn't been that long. I mean, if anything, it might have been a month.
Yeah.
At the most.
Yeah.
We got it after I got here. I can tell you that. We received this after I got here, and after that's pretty much.
So the auditors had put the date on it, but we didn't receive it.
So that means they were late on getting those contracts, huh? And they just put a date on there that's just random for them.
That's probably the date they put on all contracts, and they just waited to get through.
So they just put a date on there that's just random to them.
Yeah.
So I think we really do need some language for us in this contract.
You read the language. They hold us accountable for everything that is our responsibility, even to the point of saying they will stop work if we don't meet a certain date.
Right.
But they get off by not meeting their dates with no liability, no nothing. We got a new date.
Right.
And again, have this audit to us by October. It's the draft, or there need to be some consequences.
Right.
Repercussions.
And again, it wasn't brought to you sooner because this is the third time that we've used them, but I will talk to the attorneys to ask them if we can do this expediently, as possible, because I really don't want us to have another late audit.
Right.
And give them an excuse.
Next meeting is September the 6th. I mean, so that's only a week and a half away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks away, something like that.
September 7th.
Right. I said six, seven,
Monday,
yes.
Six.
Right. Okay. But definitely we need to vote on it then and yay or nay, and move forward. So, right. We don't want to late another late audit.
Yeah, mid-August.
But he can certainly send us something by way of email to look over before that date with some language in there of repercussions, as your grandson would say. And
they've already started taking a look at it.
So all right.
Just put something in here in paragraph six. So they're on it. And as
soon okay.
as they have it to me, I will make sure that you are seeing.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. So in other, and I know it's time, that's the last thing on the agenda, but it does say other items as needed. So we had a very interesting PowerPoint presentation at our Board of Health meeting last night, and I have sent that to the commissioners just so you have it. But an argument for and the Pfizer vaccine is now FDA approved, and our health department has all three vaccines. So an argument for getting the vaccine is new cases from May the 1st to August 18th, 92.49% were not fully vaccinated. Yeah. And out of those cases, risk of hospitalization or death is 25-fold or lower after vaccination. So the anyways, I've sent this information to you. As of yesterday, we had 68 active cases in the county.
He also said that even those people who had their first two vaccinations, got them in January and February, your resistance now is down to about 51%.
They did not. Yeah, that was not part of our, they did say that, and from what I understood was that if, depending on if you used any of those antibodies to ward off any COVID, then your antibodies would be lowered. But yeah, the booster is coming for those that are compromised, and hopefully soon for those of us. Yeah, that's already approved, and hopefully for the rest of us is going to be included in that. So those that are compromised, then you can go get the booster, and then the rest of us, hopefully the booster will become available for those of us that got vaccinated early. Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, it was extremely interesting meeting last night. Okay.
I'd just like to give the board a quick update on the teacher housing project. We're meeting tomorrow, 9 o'clock, with MHA, the same civil engineering firm that built the library and corporate extension. And we're looking to engage them as our civil engineer for the teacher housing project. We're looking to use Mills, which built five of the last six of the total six projects. We've engaged Pritchett & Birch, Jonathan Huddleston in particular, as a closing attorney on our financing. The property has been transferred this week to us. Things are moving extremely well, and we're gonna be able to use the same architect, Jones Architectural, out of Raleigh, so that we can get a significant discount on the architectural drawings, because they've been used by them for the five of the six projects. So things are going very, very well. They've given us 90 days to do the financing closing. We think we'll be through in 30, and we can move right on. However, the downside is that it is virtually impossible with the building schedule to have housing ready for next school year. That's simply very unlikely, but we will have it by May of the following year. In fact, our suggested date is end of April.
So that's been reported to you know, our other partners. I just wanted to make it known here.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Good job. Great job.
We're on it.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you so much for the staff and the work that you put into helping us to understand. I think we all have a good understanding of what has happened and what needs to happen from here on out. So thank you. Well, then we will adjourn this meeting and we'll see you September 7th.
Six o'clock.